Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Following cat.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfucker?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like literally like he can't deal with like two of me.
I start walking at home and I said, "Fuck you, San Diego."
What the fuck are they gonna put a baby seal with a club in its head?
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm going to say niggas a lot, too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell side of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's reason, and I still, that, like, I don't know, that shit just...
He turns around, I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of a movie?
What the fuck? That sounded like some random ass person. The summer of a movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, "Hey, I'm doing this podcast. I'll talk to you in about 3 hours." And she
gave me I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, my loyal minions? I am Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Raging Gumby.
I'm Tristan Gregson, and I can't believe we made it all the way through. We figured it out.
Holy yes! Shit.
We I don't know, you're a little slow on the hitting your mark there.
I was a distinct pause. I was one of those.
Oh, dramatic. All right, I'll give it to you.
That's the beauty of editing. Maddie can just extend that pause to make him sound
or make me sound much more.
Yeah, I think between you saying your name and my saying my name, there's probably a 5-minute musical piece.
Listen, boys, the truth is that's just not getting edited. That's the way it is. It's raw. It's unnatural. Unnatural or natural?
Unnatural. I think it's natural.
Is it took us 4 weeks to be able to say our names in order properly.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I mean, if you factor in all the alcohol, that's reasonable.
Hey, I'm...
For the next 100 episodes, or I'm sorry, 96 fucking episodes, whatever. But now you should see how this train's gonna roll.
Yeah, this train is fueled by alcohol, rage, and sadness, and it is.
I am fucked for the next 10 weeks then, because as I was explaining in the precast ramble, my schedule has now changed, where I pretty much have to broadcast from campus for the next 2 months and change.
That is the college campus, right? There's plenty of alcohol there.
Hey, man.
I mean, there is around me, but not in the facilities I'm using in order to be able to broadcast more than once in my life ever.
I don't know what college that is, but
hey, man.
And I figure then maybe we start a countdown so that, like, on the last week that you're having to broadcast from there, you just get shit-based drunk. It doesn't matter if you get kicked out or not.
If I was graduating that week, that would be spectacular. But as I am not, it would be weird to have to explain to Dean. It's like, hey, the end of the term, and I have to be here and drink and talk at the same time anymore. How do you not understand what I'm saying?
Your degree and your future and well-being far a fall second to the entertainment on this podcast.
I'll tell you what, Kevin. You set a future tweet to you and me 9 weeks from now. We'll make that happen.
Future tweets. It's an app. I'm going to make it happen. It's probably going to take me a lot more than 9 weeks to come up with this future tweet app. So that's probably not going to happen
either. It actually sounds pretty easy. Like, I'm no programmer, but I don't think that making a line of text and having it be sent at a certain time is that difficult.
No, I guess we could do like David said and just actually set an alarm on my phone, but that just doesn't seem
that's too easy. We don't do things like that. We make things complicated here.
Right? Uh-huh. I try and do everything that's easy.
Well, then you don't belong here. As in Sesame Street, one of these things does not belong.
I'm gonna need some hypodermic needles.
There you go. It's actually got the formula down. We do everything the easy way. But we just make it harder by, like, talking about it for 3 fucking hours and then taking the easy way out anyway. That's what we do here.
So, entertainment, man. Welcome to Heavy Meta.
You're listening to Heavy Meta.
Yes. By the way, welcome to Heavy Meta, everybody.
Intro in the bag.
Yeah, intro in the bag. Speaking of the intro, I know a lot of people have complained it's too fucking long. Well, you know what, man? It's time for a change, so.
Suck. I like it.
I like it too, so.
I mean, if you listen to episode 100's intro and then listen to the new one, it is considerably shorter. Although, I could stand to have it be cut down a little bit, but I love the fact it's Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are like, go back to the original one, but I think it was only 2 votes. So, you know what? You gotta make the hate stronger than that. This is the dark side of the force.
Yeah. What the fuck is
we're not converted to the dark side yet, folks. You gotta enjoy this for a little bit. I did want to say, though, a shout out to Kevin Metal and Raging Gumby off the top of the show, because last week when Kevin got so upset that he was mispronouncing shit and he's just screaming fuck and he was so angry at himself, I have laughed pretty hard, but I editing that cast, I was laughing my ass off that he's legitimately raging. He was so pissed off.
I was so mad that I couldn't talk straight, which is something you'd think I'd be fucking used to by now. But, I mean, yeah, I'm good at talking, but I'm way better at drinking. So, like, I should be able to contain myself and say words good. But apparently at that point, I could not fucking do it.
No, it's your stick, dude. It's your stick.
And like, nothing is better than having old Raging Gumby here to just call me on it every single time. I hate it and I love it at the same time. This motherfucker doesn't.
It sounded like pure hatred in that fuck, but it was very funny.
So for all the new listeners, to give you what attributes of the cast, like Scooby-Doo, Scooby's gonna be the one eating Scooby snacks. Shag is gonna be the one probably looking for Scooby snacks. Or maybe that's reversed. A little bit too much being drunk tonight, but. The thing is, Raging Gumby is the man that is going to point out anything that is not said correctly, pronounced correctly, pretty much exactly that. So, that's who he is. It is gold. I love it. And, Kevin's going to be the guy that makes a lot of mistakes.
I'm going to take the brunt of his fucking nonsense.
And it's awesome. It is awesome. So,
I love it. I'm pissed about it, but I love it.
You gotta have
I'm gonna get stabbed in like 3 episodes and then we're just gonna come back to this.
He's gonna have to come tell everybody about, so I went over and I was playing, you know, Booze Cube, or was playing some fucking magic over at Kevin's house, and he just randomly decided to get drunk and stab me with a fork. Oh, this is because of fucking episode blah blah blah.
No, you'd be stabbing him saying, how do you like them hypodermic needles, eh? How do you like these hypodermic?
Oh my god! I almost just choked and died. I just had one of those moonshine cherries from fucking this past weekend.
Oh god!
I went to make a drink and I found those in my fucking freezer, and I was like, "Oh, goody! Oh, goddamn it!"
When you're not, I think that's probably what started all that hatred.
Yeah.
shenanigans.
That whole shenanigans. So there's this thing called fucking Midnight Moonshine. And like you buy it in the fucking liquor section, comes in a jar. And there's a couple different flavors of it. And there's like apple pie. It's got a cinnamon stick in it. It's kind of weird. There's one that's fucking like strawberries, and there's one that's cherry. Me personally, I'm a cherry fan. So I bought that one. And this shit's strong. It's 50% alcohol, 100 proof. And it's awesome because it's in a mason jar, and there's a whole bunch of cherries at the bottom of it that have been soaking in this shit forever. They taste like fire.
which is, if you're Kevin Metal, the best thing you could hope for.
Other people, best thing you could hope for.
Tastes like fire. That might be bad.
They are so good, yet so burny. And, yeah. So
that's
I had
a legitimate adjective.
Yeah, I don't remember that on my sommelier test. Is it
Bernie? Bernie is a
it
real
is.
Word.
We've already established your school is bad, TSG.
No, so. Ah, yes, that's where we were.
All right.
So there was cherries, and I was leading into that. I was like, I don't know if I should tell this story on the podcast, but I honestly just don't give a shit. It's funny.
You tell it. That's all. Like I've had people like, are we gonna know? I'm like, if it's gonna be told. Kevy is going to tell it. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not even drunk yet. And it was funny. So, fucking, as I've said, I've got no adult supervision for like a week. I'm fucking, my wife is out of town. She's in Nebraska right now. And so I was like, oh, well, fucking, you know, she left Friday morning. And I was like, the fucking weekend's coming. I'm going to have some people over to play some Booze Cube. Usually, if I play Booze Cube, it's normally like fucking me and Daniel, me and David and Daniel, or me and Josh or something. But I was like, oh, we'll get a few people. So we actually had a whopping 5 fucking people over to play. So there's me and my brother-in-law Daniel, my best friend Josh, and David. And David brought over his friend who I've met before, but he was more David's friend that I insist on calling Xenagos.
His name is Xenagos Blood Moon.
his actual name is like, what is it, Xenophon?
It's Xenophon Wolf Moon is his given name.
So I insisted on him changing his Twitter name to Xenagos Blood Moon, and it is now.
Yeah, he did it right away. He's like, done.
I say things and it happens. Anyway, so I was like, all right. Because I'm Jesus. Anyway, so I have some fucking, I have some fucking friends over. We're going to fucking play some Booze Cube. We're going to get rowdy. We're going to have a good time. Well, that happened. We had some friends over. We got rowdy. We got drunk. We had a good time. Well, Joshua, my beloved best man and best friend in the fucking world, him and I have a different sort of humor than a lot of people do. And I know when to not break that kind of humor out in public. And Josh apparently had a few too many of the fucking moonshine cherries and a little too much to drink. So here we are. We've drafted. It was fun as shit. We got our decks. We split into our, well, pods, basically, because we had to have a three-person game and a two-person game. And so we are doing our thing, and then it's taking – how many hours did that take for us to even attempt to fucking play, David?
I don't remember. It took us for fucking ever to even get the draft done.
Oh, my God. And literally, I sat out here in the other room playing against Xenagos, and I had, like, just fucking lands forever, and, it was just a slow game anyway, and I play the fucking one-eyed monster, which is like a 7-11 – shroud trample fucking creature, and he's got no fucking board, but it specifies on the fucking card, it says opponents can't have creatures attack unless they've drank two this turn. And it's not just like, oh, I gotta drink two so my opponents can attack. You have to have drank twice for your creatures to be able to attack. For some reason, every time I've played that card in Booze Cube, I read it as players can't have their creatures attack unless they've drank twice this turn. So I sat there for fucking 2 hours with that fucking creature on board, not swinging with it because I didn't think I was allowed to because I couldn't take drinks. I went as far as to play like this fucking forked bolt spell and something else to like just to cause me to drink. So that I could attack with it once. And of course, I didn't even pay attention. None of us paid attention to the fact that I put a fucking sword on it that gave it plus 2 in flying. And then, like, the next day when I posted the picture on Twitter, like, who was it? God damn it. He's one of our fans for a long time. Fucking can't think of who it was off the bat. But he's just all, is that a sword on a shroud creature? It's like, God, so stupid. But whatever, it happens. So basically, I sat there all night not attacking with this flying 914 creature that was supposed to be like fucking 913 creature, supposed to be a 711, not attacking because I thought I wasn't allowed to. While David is running around the house yelling Hodor, 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 because he's got Hodor in play, and he's got a pad of paper, and the only time David could talk is when we like paused the fucking game for something and he could fucking talk for a few.
Basically, so I could tell Josh what the hell cards were meant to do or what they were doing.
Yeah, because Joshua,
rules judging.
Joshua is just getting back into the game. Doesn't know a whole lot about it. Very casual player. He's just getting back into it and getting excited. And he played Booze Cube with us once. And he's, you know, or that was like the second time playing Booze Cube. And he's been kind of building, you know, casual decks and stuff. He's really getting into it. And really like supporting it, wanting him to fucking get into the game. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, we'll play some Booze Cube. But Josh and I are, you know, we have our own fucking thing. Like, when we're around our other friends that aren't, like, the Magic friends, we are, like, heavy metal in Portland kind of drunk all the time. And it was like, we were just drinking a lot. And Josh had a lot to drink, and so he was caring a lot less about what was happening in Magic and more about, like, getting his ex-girlfriend to come over to serve us drinks. And, like... then she brought over a couple friends, which was hilarious. She brought over some friends that I was like, hey, just let her know, like, this isn't a fucking house party. We're playing Magic. So literally, she brings over, like, two girls and, like, one of the girls' husband that come over, and they stand here and watch us drafting the Booze Cube, which is probably the most interesting thing they've seen on a Friday night ever. And for about 15, 20 minutes until they're like, all, okay,
we're gonna go.
Well, we're gonna go now. We'll see you later. So they leave.
You said this guy was a rock star.
Exactly.
And he's nerd drafting.
And here they are all nerd drafting. And I was like very apparent. I was like, I'm not gonna talk to these people or socialize with them because I've got fucking Magic to play. I've got. And I think at one point, like, we got into a conversation while he was on the phone with her, and I was all, tell homeboy if he comes over the house, he starts acting tough because we're nerds. It's the wrong house to walk into because he won't walk back out of it. Like, I started getting very confrontational while they were on the phone. But then when he showed up, I was like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm Kevin. This is my house. Anyway.
Okay.
We get through drafting and we're playing for fucking quite some hours because it takes us forever to do anything Magic related while we're drinking. And then it happens. For some reason, we're on a break of some sort because our games are not finished, but we're kind of standing around the kitchen area. I think we were taking shots at that point. And for some reason, Josh's pants end up around his ankles. Now, this is tattooed wiener.
Underwear, too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, guys, I don't know what it is, man, but there's something that happens.
When we drink it.
It's Portland all over again. I don't know what the fuck causes this, but we got to find out.
Check here. At this point of the night, the house is just five dudes.
No. Uh-huh. His ex-girlfriend was there.
Yeah, his ex-girlfriend was there, too.
I'm not sure whether that helped the situation or hurt the situation.
So you've changed the scenario from five dudes to a gangbang?
Mm.
That's not where it went.
But
that would be normal.
You know, we were trying to play fucking Magic here, okay?
Obviously.
Okay.
I always, you know, the way I tell people that I want to play more Magic is I take a shot and I pull my pants down.
Well,
then you would be playing Booze Cube properly, PSP.
Exactly. So here we are. Josh is in the kitchen and his pants are at his ankles. And his dink is out, and he's like, woo! I'm still not sure why his dink was out, but it was out. Then, for whatever reason, Josh decides that he wants to show it to David or put it on David for some reason.
Oh my God, guys. I gotta tell you, this is getting
bad. No.
That's how we open the show.
Okay, keep going, because we're already so far past the acceptable point. I mean, just go.
So, yeah, you can't stop once you started, it stinks.
Okay, Josh is putting his dick on David, let's go, keep going.
Trying to.
On David.
But you're too good at grappling, so it's like, not happening.
One of us is just all, dude, get your fucking dick away from me. And it was like, okay. Kind of smiles, laughing a little bit at first. It was like, you know, not anger yet. It was just like, oh, dude, get your fucking dick away from me. And Josh saw, I'm chewing my dick. And see, Josh and I, we think shit like that's funny. But I also know that most people don't think that shit's funny. And so as Josh is trying to put his wiener on David just to do it, David is trying to keep him from doing it. So David throws his arm into fucking Josh's throat and is just like, dude, get the fuck off me. Well, Josh has got this thing. He doesn't like having people with his, you know, being choked. He doesn't like people putting his hands on his throat. So Josh clicks into fucking angry mode. And, like, all of a sudden, fucking, it's on. Like, he's pissed, and fucking, he grabs at David to try to get him off. And so now it's, like, a serious thing, because David was just trying to keep a wiener from touching him. And Josh was just having a good time. But then things, you know, because of the drinking involved, things got a little bit weird. And it was just like, well, I mean, obviously things were weird. One of my friends was trying to put his wiener on my other friend. But things got weird in the sense that it got a little bit hostile. And so it was like, hey, what the fuck, you know? So here we are. Josh is pissed off. Now David's pissed off because Josh is getting pissed off and, like, trying to escalate this fucking situation. And all I could do is die. I forgot that I had done this, but I took a picture of the whole situation, which will never... I've never seen the light of Twitter. I just, like, on Sunday, I was looking through my phone. Oh, Jesus. And I sent the picture to both of them. And I was like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen now that everything is all said and done.
I'm just saying right now, spray foam, once again, would have solved that situation real quick.
Taken care of the situation. Well, what it ends up coming down to is everything calms the fuck down. Josh pulls his pants up. They make up. Everything's fucking good. But then Josh is hammered. So as Josh's girlfriend is trying to get him out the door to put him in the truck to take him home, and Josh is trashed, and he's still got that little bit of anger left in him. He's just all, don't you ever put your fucking hands on my throat again. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, Josh, get the fuck out of my house. So I had to take him out to the truck, talk him down. Everything was fucking cool. Came back inside, talked to David. Everything was fucking cool. It was a big misunderstanding. No big fucking deal. Talk to Josh the next day. He's like, man, that's weird. I don't even remember, because he didn't realize why they got into it. And he's like, I don't even realize what happened or why we got into it. I was all, it's probably because you tried to pull your dick on him. And he's just like, dude, that's weird. I don't remember pulling my dick out. I was all, that's probably because you didn't pull it out. Your pants were around your ankles, so it was just out. And then you decided you were.
He thought he had David, his pants because the whole time.
I was like, I was all, hey, man, trust me, I think this shit's funny. But most people don't think it's funny when you're trying to put your dick on them. I probably wouldn't have thought it was funny if you were trying to put your dick on me. I just thought it was funny from over here on the other side of the room. So now he's like, oh, dude, I feel like an asshole. So he hit David up. Sorry about that. David talked to him. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. So my two close friends are fucking good again. And so in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, sweet. So... well, I had my friends over. We fucking got drunk as shit. We played fucking booze cube. We didn't, neither one of us finished our fucking first rounds at all. The cards were all still in the same place the next fucking morning. Fuck, you didn't go home till, you and fucking Zenigos didn't go home till like 5 o'clock in the morning, did you?
I think it was like 4:30, something like that.
4:30, something like that, yeah. After all this was done, then me and David sat there and traded cards in my bedroom for a little while, or in my fucking bed.
And discussed the situation, because after it, I was, like, thoroughly confused, because I had hung out with Josh. I'd hung out with Josh one other time, and we booze cubed, and everything was fine. We had a good time, we got along, it was cool, you know, and it was all fun and games. Like, everything was cool, like, I don't care, like, whatever. He whipped his dick out, I was like, all right, this is... you know, not something I would do, but it was funny. And I think that's what he was trying to do. Like, I have a Twitter picture, too, from that night where, like, I'm taking a selfie and he's pissing with the door open in the background, smiling. Like, I'm obviously was very, very drunk myself, and we were all just having a good time. And for whatever reason, he decided it was time to go party boy with his pants down on mm-hmm. me. And I was not too keen on that. So basically all I did was I kept him at bay with my elbow in his throat. And, like, I had one of his wrists in a, like, I had an overhook on it, basically. I had him by one wrist and then my elbow so I could keep him away from me.
Keep his penis away from
me. Yeah, just keep his tattooed dick off of me. And the only reason, like, it didn't get violent real quick is because he wasn't hard. So I was like, all right, so this is obviously not where I should be concerned.
I'm not being attempted raped. This is just a joke that went wrong.
This is just a joke that I don't want to be a part of. So I basically, in my mind, all I was doing was keeping him at bay. And I kind of, like, pushed him over the counter. And I think that's when he got really pissed off, was because he kind of felt stuck, because he was. And and then I don't remember what he did. At first, I just thought he pinched me, but I think he just grabbed the shit out of the back of my arm, because the next day, it was just one big bruise.
He's probably desperately trying to get air. He's just like,
probably. Fuck. Well, at that point, I wasn't really choking him. But when I felt that, that's when I just put more weight into the elbow. And then I know I was restricting his breathing, and I think that's when it turned really bad. Because he, like, ripped away from me and, like, turned away, and I locked up a choke, and then that would have been fine. I wasn't going to do anything at this point, but then he reached around and, like, grabbed my junk and started squeezing the life out of it, and so I squeezed the life out of him, and then I backed away, and Kevy grabbed him. I didn't choke him unconscious, but close, and, like, walked away, and that's when it got really bad, was, you know, just that escalation. I didn't know he had a thing of, you know, not liking.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know anything.
So anyways, hold on. Does anyone know way back in the early 80s when you'd come home from school and you'd watch those really awesome ABC after school specials? And they'd have that thing where it'd be like, this star would come flying across and it would be like, hey, man. And it'd be these little public service announcements about, you know, the more you know, about your friends, about this kid bullying you. We should do heavy meta versions of those. But heavy metal explaining about, like, okay, man, so you know what's going to happen? Your friend gets drunk, he takes his pants down, and he tries to put his dick on you. But here's what's going to happen. When your other friend tries to choke that guy out, you got to be cool, man. You can't laugh. It is funny, but it's not that funny. So here's what you do. The more you know.
I started yelling at the both of them, because they were, you know, obviously they were heated. There was confrontation. So I'm like fucking standing between them, because these are two of my close fucking friends. No! No, you fucking asshole, shut! And either one of them would try to talk. Well, shut the fuck up! Let me fucking talk! And then when they would both shut up so I could talk, I would completely forget what I had to say. And so I would just ramble a little bit and be all, you guys are fucking friends of mine, so what you doing right now? And they'd be like, no, seriously. And I'm like, shut the fuck up! And I would spend like 5 minutes yelling, shut the fuck up, so that I could forget what I was saying again. And finally, I was just like, all right, well, you guys, are you cool?
It was drunk leading the drunk. That was...
Yeah. It was beautiful.
That's Kevin Metal's mediation.
In the land of
right
the drunk,
there.
The sober man is king, and there was no king. Yeah. It was anarchy.
There was no king at all. It was the blind leading the blind. It was that threat of, like, at some point I might just freak out and start doing windmill punches everywhere because I'm just unstable. But for the most part, I was just trying to make my friends be friends again. And it all was just, you know, fun misunderstanding. And like I said, it's fine. And this, of course, is nothing against Josh. I love the guy to death. I think it's fucking hilarious. That's the kind of humor we have. For a bunch, like my motorcycle club, for a bunch of tattooed, fucking bearded, biker fucking dudes, all of us just love dick jokes and love pulling our dicks out and making each other have to deal with them. And we think it's funny. But I also realize, like I said, most of the time, people outside of that circle of friends don't think it's quite as funny if you try to run at them and put your dick on them. And Josh just happened to have a lapse in judgment and decided it would be funny. And again, to me, it was fucking hilarious until it turned into a fucking fight. So if you come to Kevin Metal's house to play Booze Cube, so if you're into fucking wieners flying and Hodors and bad magic playing, fucking come on over.
The layers of the onion slowly peel back. Slowly but surely, the layers of the onion get circumcised.
They get. So yeah, that was the fun.
So that was GP Kevy Metal's house.
GP Kevy Metal's house. And like I said, the end of the night was fucking sweet. By the end of it, fucking sat down and traded fucking David a Badlands and one of my brother-in-law's Karns for a bunch of land that I needed. But actually, he was all for it. He's just like, he's all, hey man, fucking trade that shit off. I've been having it sitting around forever. He's all, try to give me a celestial call and all, not if you can. I was like, yeah, David doesn't have one, so I'm just going to go ahead and get the lance that I need. But I'll get it. I'll get him back eventually. I've given the dude plenty of cards, and I will end up giving him plenty more. But it was nice because that's what helped me finally finish off my burn deck and paper. I got all the fucking land that I need for it now. And I got a fucking, what was it? Oh, a foil Wild Nacatl for my cube, too, on top of it.
Nice.
But yeah, it's nice now that I've got my fucking, my deck is finally put together in paper, and now I'm changing it a little bit, but whatever. You guys keep giving me shit about, like, you know, everybody always says Kevin Metal's only a fucking red player, and now I'm fucking flirting with islands. Fuck you guys. My new burn deck is not green. So suck it. I'm playing four-color burn. Uh-oh. That's why fucking fetch lands and treasure crews are fucking hilarious, because I can play four-color burn, and it works.
You know, yeah, well, there's a lot. We'll get to that in a second. But speaking of dicks and lightning bolts, I think there's a shout-out that you are owed this evening.
I owe a huge fucking shout-out. I owe shout-outs to lots of people, but I always fucking forget them. Like,
that's not why I'm saying it now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this one is to fucking Tristan Z. Carntron, because apparently I'm his Jesus. And
eating that ass. Now, rule number two. Rule number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now, listen, I want you to send him four lightning bolts, but I think, you know, this will never make the air, but, you know, rub your junk on. Just before you sign him, I'm just saying. You'll never know.
He's all, man, these ones are all curled and shit. I'm all, or it's just the heat from the desert.
Yeah, it's just the heat from the desert. but shout out to you, man.
You know, he asked me to send him for bolt, like a playset of bolts that I signed, because he wants to, he wants to win a GP or a pro tour with a deck, a burn deck that's completely defiled by me, and just yell deflecting palm eat a dick. And I was like, I fucking love this guy. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Hey,
best fans in the world.
Fuck yeah, best fans in the world. The Heavy Meta SBU is the shit. And the quickest way to get me to do anything is to inflate my already too big ego. So if you say things like I'm your Jesus and that I'm your favorite person in the fucking world, then I'm probably going to be more apt to do shit for you. Can you just edit in that little fucking star shooting across? The more you know.
But speaking of GPs, the Kevin Metal GP house, there is another one. Apparently a fucking shit ton of guys on the East Coast are going to. I know Marcel's flying up. The money drought millionaires, the bling bling boys are going to be there.
If they don't take a picture from a private jet, I call shenanigans. They're liars.
Oh, yeah. And no photoshopping that shit either. Like, I want to see diamonds. I want to see your bankroll.
You need to take a picture from coach of the airliner that they're on and just be all, our private jet is huge and we just brought a bunch of people. Just try to get away with it.
I just want them to get really junk, go to a bank machine, take out like $10,000 and like make it rain and then get robbed. It'd be awesome.
I could seriously see fucking, I could see JR and Slick doing it when they're drinking. I could see them doing it.
I
could see fucking Jason Alt being the voice reason, be like, I ain't fucking doing that. That's stupid. And I could just see Slick and fucking JR doing it. It's fucking hilarious. Those two fucking still just...
I don't want to picture them doing it.
Not like, I'm not saying I can picture them doing it. I'm sure they do, but...
You just said...
I can picture them doing the ATM machine thing.
Oh, yeah, making it rain on each other.
Yeah, making it rain.
I don't want to see that either, in all honesty. But there is a GP New Jersey, because we do have to have some minimal magic content in this cat.
I'm playing a four-color burn deck. Now, that's enough magic.
Well, we got... Apparently, now, this is the weird thing. So, I don't know if this is just...
my friend trying to put a dick on my other friend, and this is the weird thing.
This better be- Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is vendor hype in maximum overdrive right now, but it sure feels like Star City Games is just amping the shit out of this thing. They say, I don't know, it could be just Twitter bullshit, but they say they're going to try and break Vegas numbers for this. I mean, if they do, I'm going to be blown away. That's crazy.
Especially in New Jersey.
It's like they won't have a chance to break it. I know that they will not shut up about it.
2,200.
But I can't imagine it's going to happen at this point.
See, well,
you got to pick a better location than New Jersey, you know, like Atlantic City, maybe, or something.
Yeah, I don't even think that would have done the trick.
But, I don't think so either, but I'm saying, like, New Jersey, of all places.
Isn't it, like, Legacy, too?
It is Legacy.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's almost a better draw for them, because there are so few Legacy GPs during the course of the calendar year, let alone North American ones. I can understand why they use this as the springboard for let's make it the biggest fucking thing ever. I just think that the difference between playing the best limited format with the highest return on investment in the best gamble city in all of the earth versus let's fly into Newark and play with a $3,000 Magic card deck. Those things are pretty polar opposites.
Shit, they just said on the, like, they're talking about like 6,000 something fucking people. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like they said on the A teams, I don't think there's like 6,000 legacy decks out there.
There certainly is.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
Like, and there's not 6,000 people that are gonna show up with their fucking legacy deck to fucking play when, like you said, with fucking GP Vegas, it was like you didn't have to show up with anything. You showed up to fucking get Modern Masters product in fucking.
You showed
Vegas
up with a fucking Rockstar can full of vodka is what you do, and then you're fine.
that's what he
fucking
did.
Pop, you fucking sell your cards. You piss David off. You fucking set. That's what you do.
I mean, it's going to come down to this. Even if they get close, I think that that's a very telling sign that even between the first GP Vegas and supposedly the 2015 one, Magic's grown even more.
Yeah. Well, here's my actual legitimate question for this, and not just trying to fucking screw around and be funny. They capped fucking Vegas, correct?
Yes, they did.
Because they didn't have the staff or the fucking product. Now, obviously, with this, you don't have to worry about product as much. But, like, to staff that, it was like, holy shit, we can't have any more fucking people come in. And the numbers that they're projecting here, like, what, are they going to have just fucking infinite judges on call? Or are they going to,
like... Well, it's a good thing you brought that up, Kevy. It's as though it was a plant of a question. Because that was one of the first things that they actually advertised about the Grand Prix. Was that they were going to employ the largest judge staff ever seen. Thus the internet immediately did a little bit of arithmetic to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If a GP that's X number of people has Y number of judges and Star City Game has Z number of judges, that means they're prepared for A number of players. That's insane.
And is that where they're getting their projected numbers from, or is this actual, like,
I mean, at this point, they've stopped projecting, because we're in the home stretch. I mean, by the time people are listening to this, the number is fucking locked in, so I don't have a problem talking about this event as much as I would have last week when they were still trying to shill their shit all the time. But they
Do we know what they have, like, registered, like, pre-registered already?
It was 2,400,
I think it's up
last
to 27 now. I think the funny thing is that since they're on this big kick. I mean, it's hard. Like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I think that on the one hand, it's like, shut up about it. Let people show up at the fucking Magic tournament and play. And on the other hand, like, they want to hold the record. They want to make promises to people and vendors that it's going to be the biggest Magic event ever. And because of that, I understand that every 24-hour cycle, they have to jam it down your throat, being like, so many more people are going to be there. Has that changed your mind yet? Fucking register already.
Where is your booth going to be at, Tristan?
For the price that it costs to get one, I think I'm going to pass.
No, he's just going to do what he did. He's going to do what he did at fucking Oakland, and he's just going to fucking bring.
Yeah, that's what I was meaning. Like, a lot of booths going to be set up. I knew you're going to be selling power there, right?
That's right.
Oh, definitely.
Right next to SCG's booth.
And he's going to need to sell a lot of it so he can pay for the flight and then be able to actually make any money.
I mean, here's an odd question, David. You might be interested in this one, but at $8,000 for a vendor booth, that's a lot of Magic cards.
You
got to
be a big time dealer for that to be worth it.
Yeah,
yeah. Like on average, I think from what I've heard is you want to buy, because it's all about buying Magic cards at these events, not selling them. And you want to be buying about $10,000 to $12,000 if you're a medium to, you know, like a face style store or something.
At
$8,000, okay. Well, like these are the numbers I've heard that make it worth it. So yeah, like if you can buy more, you buy more. But at $8,000, geez, you're gonna have to buy like $40,000 worth of cards.
When that number gets thrown out there. Now again, Star City Games collected $8,000 per vendor. They have 22 vendors on the floor. you know, minus 8K because they don't charge themselves. Think about the fact that as soon as they announced judges were no longer to be compensated for working events, immediately prices were increased for GPs and that got passed along to players. Now, stop and think about how much they're collecting just from the vendors in the hall, and then tell me that it's a pain in the ass to pay out judges for their time.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Like, that's really weird. Like, is it... I mean, we'll see. I hope the event, in all honesty, I hope it goes well. I hope it breaks numbers, because that just is going to make GP Vegas even more stupid. I love it, man.
I think it's a little thin to say that there's a direct comparison between those two events, but I would say...
Yeah, I
agree.
There's
a comparison to be drawn.
I don't understand why people fucking can, like... Still, like, the whole judge thing. Why people can't fucking wrap their heads around, like, needing to pay judges. Like, it's...
Because it wasn't done before.
I know,
but
it's silly,
just
like,
unfamiliar.
With the fucking NFL, like, do they just, like, they just pay their refs in footballs? No. They fucking, they pay them. Like, come on. Like, they're an employee. They're out there doing work. They're not playing in the tournament. They're an employee. They're out there doing work. It's part of your fucking cost. If that has to pass down to the players, if it costs every player an extra fucking $2 at the end of the tournament, fine. But for these judges to be running around fucking sweating balls all day trying to get the fucking tournament run and having people like us screaming at them all day long because we don't like the calls they made, like, they need to be compensated. Jesus. Fucking foil packs? No.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I don't know. I think Wizards, I don't want to go deep on this one, but I think Wizards should, you know, they should compensate judges in cash.
Well, I mean, not even Wizards.
Wizards of the Coast should, and a tournament organizers should not, is what you're advocating?
No, I think it should be a 50-50 split.
I think
that's a revolutionary idea in terms of how they're compensated, because when it comes to Grand Prix, it's up to the tournament organizer to put all of these elements together. It really has next to nothing to do with Wizards of the Coast. All they do is facilitate the judge program itself, being like, you need
so
many judges.
Well, yeah, they also sanction the judges.
And incentives are changed depending on your size of your Grand Prix. You are incentivized to bring in judges from a wider scope. So maybe at a Grand Prix you've gone to, you see a judge that's literally from halfway across the globe, and you're like, why would you be here for a foil pack or two nights in a hotel and maybe half your plane ride? It's like, again, the Wizards incentivizes that part of the program, but it's up to the tournament organizer to determine exactly what they're going to pay them, how they're going to pay them, et cetera, et cetera. So because of those things, you know, it goes back and forth. But what it blows my mind to me is that numbers are going up across the board. If attendance goes up, seemingly not proportionally, what the tournament organizer is going to pull down seems to be going through the roof here. And as exciting as it is to have giant Magic events that we all just want to be even bigger. I mean, I assume everyone else loves the idea of a Magic celebration every weekend of the year, hopefully somewhere near you a couple of times of the year that you can go to. What does that really look like for the landscape of the people that are charging entry fees into the building, and what are you getting out of those experiences? Because right now it's really a smorgasbord for vendors, as they're being promised thousands of players with able to buy cards from, where 24 months ago you were happy to break 1,000.
Right.
I mean, hey, as long as it keeps growing, I don't really give a shit. But if you don't like going to GP New Jersey, man, you can always get your kicks online on the MTGO, as it were.
We still doing that? We're still doing the MTGO thing?
Maddie, that was a beautiful segue, by the way.
Thank you.
It was for a second.
Until you ruined it. I'm hardcore on MTGO. That's where I get my fix. So, as everyone knows, I built Green Machine and Paper, played it, because I like the deck, but also because it cost $42, and, it was pretty sweet, right? I guess everyone knows, I did a big redemption today, or yesterday, I can't remember.
I can't imagine everyone knows if you just did it today.
Alright, well, whatever. They've already asked me, they're already like, what the fuck are you doing going to Paper? I'm like, I'm not going to Paper. The point is, though, and I think this is something for everyone that's playing MTGO right now to be very cautious of, you've got Return of Ravnica about to go basically bye-bye on the Redemption Store. So it's technically not guaranteed anymore until supply runs out, and you've got Cons of Tarkir. You've got Shocks and Fetches, and I did the math, because I was going to actually consider, I was talking to, Tony there, face-to-face, and I'm like, okay, well, what is it gonna cost me to get a place of the Shocks, just so I have them in case I want to build other modern decks, cause, I think Green Machine is a good deck, I just don't think it's powerful enough, and I wanna explore, other decks, which we will get to in a moment, but I need fucking the land bases, which are retardedly expensive in paper, and I'm looking at this like, holy crap, dude, I can redeem a ton of shit and basically lock up a ton of cards that I'm going to need if I want to go paper for almost half or a third the price of what it would cost for me to get in paper. So I'm doing it. So,
yeah, all right.
Yeah, so I'm doing it. And I mean, if it goes bad, I've already like, I even did the math. I'm like, if it goes bad, I just fucking sell it. And I still can buy back cards online. The other thing, too, is, I don't need, I try to buy a 4x playset of the set when it comes out, and I watch carefully when the bottoms are there, and I've been getting very good at sniping full sets for really cheap. I even said, I was like, hey man, Contest Arcus is 104 online, and the next day it went up to 116, so I think that was the bottom. I think it did. I don't know if it's gonna go back down anytime soon to those levels. Unless it's just drafted like crazy, but I think it's already there, and it's live in the store now, so I mean, you're getting an effect.
They just made another announcement yesterday that they're going to have more vintage events and holiday cube events starting in December, yeah. So the cons numbers are only going to be dropping off in the next foreseeable future.
Yeah. And, I mean, the one thing is that's very interesting that I wanted to touch on before I get back to the redemption thing is, the MTGO marketplace has been very, very interesting. A lot of the speculators and the hoarders, are always looking for the edge. And I had bought, I had a dumb habit, with Marcel, where we would have fun and we would waste $2, two tickets, and we would buy 30 or 40 as jokes, not even as like for speculation. We just pick dumb, we'd pick dumb mythics from stupid sets. And it just so happened that, wow, Return to Ravnica, because of the Shocklands and everyone was redeeming the shit out of it, a lot of the janky mythics from Return to Ravnica are worth 5 or 6 tickets because no one, they all got hoarded up.
That's what happens.
So this, but it does and it doesn't. That's what happens and they go up slightly. And in foils, that's where it's really bad, right? The foils could be like, 50 times the cost.
Yeah.
But the normal cards never spike more than a dollar or two. They really don't go crazy.
I mean, that's huge making, for a junk mythic, though. A dollar spike on a card?
Mythics usually bounce between 40 cents and $1.50. That's where most jank mythics would sit. Normally, a lot of them wouldn't even go too far below a dollar at times. And then right before redemption, they may hit like $2. So, but it wasn't crazy. This time in Return to Ravnica, they hit 9 tickets. So I made 60 tickets on something we maybe spent $3 on. So that was crazy, and I used that money to then buy cons cards, because I want to redeem them for fetch lands. So what happened at that point is I tweeted it, and I think it was me who turned on to this, because I didn't see anything spiking in cons. As soon as I said, hey guys, I think maybe we should look at, like, Ugin's Nexus is 30 cents. A lot of these cards are dirt, and if the same thing happens, don't you think it's going to happen in this set? Well, not only did all these people target cons, which you can go look at all the jank mythics that are going up, they targeted Journey to Nyx, M15, all the jank mythics have gone up. And it's just another thing to be wary of, so as sets come in, and if you are trying to get the cards to play with or whatever, if you want to get them at the bottom price, there are windows. But they're, man, it's crazy how the hoarding can just jank the entire market so quickly. So it's something to be very wary of. And in all honesty, I'm redeeming right now because it's been like 2.5 years since the last time I did it. And I'm like, yeah, I want to get some of these cards. I mean, I do want to try and get more into modern and doing events and tournaments and that. So
at least you have a,
that's kind of my
logic. You have a storefront that's worth driving to.
I do, the other thing too that, I mean, I am into the cube right now, pretty hardcore, so I'm like, you know, it makes a lot of sense to just redeem a set, get your one-ofs for your cube.
Couldn't agree. Couldn't agree more.
I don't know if that's how a lot of people do it, but I think you could almost just get your cube cards for free and sell all the extra jank off at the right time. Maybe you break even. I don't know. But that's something to watch out for, guys. It's just something I've noticed. I think, like, Cons is going to be very similar to Return of Ravnica, if not more. Just because it's Cons that's going to get redeemed the most, not Return of Ravnica and Gate Crash, right, to get your set. Because I don't think we're getting other fetches, so... we'll see.
It's interesting that you talk about the impact of Return to Ravnica, because I think that the last time that I saw something similar really hit MTGO was happened with Rise of the Eldrazi Mythics. Like, there was definitely a time where there was you couldn't find... You mean, all of them were just so much higher than you would expect for whatever reason across the board. And a lot of it had to do with the quality of the set that was being redeemed. So if there's just a good set in general, Return to Ravnica is a spectacular target, because look at all those lands, and again, a lot of quality rares people want. All you have to do is target the bad cards, scoop up a ton of those, and it's just payday.
Yeah, I mean, the really thing that pissed me off the most is using the Magic client is the hardest. I really pity poor Ferret, man, because it is the hardest thing to do to just simply know, hey, how many cards do I need right now? Oh, you gotta set your quantity filters to zero, and then they show up, and then, oh, well, now that it just disappears from the menu if you don't have zero. It is the most asinine thing in the world, when it should just say, there is 175 cards in this set, you own 172. Like, it could be so simple to just show you, and it's so asininely complicated. And there are trading bugs. Either I have bought now 50 active treasons, or I don't own any. Because I cannot, for some reason, I tried to keep trading for that one damn card out of Constar Gear. And every time I thought I traded for it, I'd go to the collection and it would say zero. And I'm like, what the fuck? How many of these do I have? So, Worth, after my shit comes in, if I go and see 46 goddamn active treasons, I'm going to be pissed off, man. I want a refund. But that's something to watch, man. So that's MTGO. Not that anyone gives a fuck.
I mean, yeah, how many? I've redeemed sets on MTGO before. Maddie obviously is the master. How about you guys, Kevin?
I've never redeemed a set before. I've thought about it at times, but I'm like, I just never really had the drive to or the reason to. Because I mean, I haven't really done a lot of drafting on Moto since like me and Maddie went on a spree in what was it, Return to Ravnica. That, like, we just went on an early spree. So, like, I mean, I don't end up with, like, I think that's the only way to really do it is if you draft a lot and you're getting a lot of those cards anyway from your draft and they're just ending up in your collection, then fucking sweet. You know, maybe you got to chase a fucking rare or mythic or two and then you can just redeem the set and cool. But for me, it was like, it's definitely not worth it to spend the money or the tickets to go out and seek out a set to pay $25 to redeem it so that I can have those cards in paper when I don't really have any use for those sets. Like, I'm not a collector in the sense that, like, I want to have the sets. I'm a collector and, like, I like certain cards that I like to have, and mainly it's just for playing. So, to me, like...
Well,
was play limited. Like, on MTGO, all I did was play limited, and then I would, redeem about... It averaged out to about 3 sets per block. Or not block, but
Per set, you
like 3 redemptions
each set,
each individual set. Yeah. So, that's like I started back, end of the Scars of Mirrodin block, beginning of Innistrad block. I want to say, I think Innistrad I redeemed like 2 or 3, and then basically it was 2 to 4 for each set following that up to when they jumped the redemption price from $5 to $25.
For Great Crash.
Yeah, exactly. And then I haven't played online in a long time because that's what I would do was play on drafts. And, you know, I was good enough that it didn't cost me a whole lot. I'd use my prizes to keep drafting. And, you know, if I got like more than 4 or 5 of a certain money, mythic or rare, I would sell those 4 tickets to keep drafting. And then once I got up to, you know, 3 sets is, like I said, the average before the next set started coming out, I would, redeem them and, add to my paper collection. and then sell off all of the excess because I didn't have any need for it online because I didn't play Constructed. And then they jumped the redemption cost by 500%, and you know, then V4 started, you know, getting talked about and the beta and everything else, and so it kind of just pushed me out of MTGO, and this is kind of like a segue into this whole thing, because the Twitch stream has got brought up about, you know, me starting a stream and either Kevy being a part of it, or, you know, guest, you know, or just me alone starting a stream. And so it's ironic now that I'll probably be playing MTGO again, but it will only be Constructed, I'm guessing, because I have no interest in redeeming the sets.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's a
draft practice a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I might if you know,
for fun,
a big
yeah.
tournament's coming up, or, you know, if, you know, my dreams come true and I make the Pro Tour and it's a limited format or something like that, then of course I'm going to get on there and I'm going to draft. But what I'm saying is I won't do it enough that I'm going to be redeeming a set.
Well, here's a question, too, though, is you had, like, there's, okay, when you were drafting a lot on there before, because I know when we first started talking about this, you know, like you said, you were drafting all the time on Moto. And, yeah. like, partially, like, you know, it was the V4 client and the redemption jump that pushed you away from it. But... okay, so you're not looking to redeem sets. If you take that part out of the equation, because that's not going to change, they're still going to charge you $25 to redeem. Would you still be drafting as much if it weren't for the V4 client having the issues that it does and being a problem? You still couldn't be drafting as much. That was your main drive for drafting all the time was to be able to play and sustain yourself, but mainly to get the paper cards.
It was a win-win for me at that point because I was drafting, right. I was playing Magic, which I love to do. And then on top of that, I would get enough of the cards that I could redeem them and get a significant amount back in paper cards.
In paper, right. Okay.
And now, like, it's just with the jump in the redemption prices and, you know, it's a combined thing between...
Combined. Well, I guess... what I was alluding to, or what I was getting to, is the fact that, like, if you're going to have to deal with V4, I guess, to get the stream started, you know, and you're going to have to get used to it, kind of thing. Like, if you're going to have to deal with the fucking, with that client the way it is and play out on there all the time, like, Constructed wise to, you know, to be able to do the stream and do it, you know, fairly consistent, then do you think that might, you know, get you playing, like, drafting again on there? Because if you're already having to deal with it, you're going to need cards for Constructed. Like, do you think you'll go back into drafting more, or possibly even drafting for the stream? Or do you think you'll just leave it alone, buy the deck?
I'll certainly draft for the stream at certain points. And I'm sure that playing Constructed and getting those prize packs and everything else will lead to me possibly drafting more, but probably not to the same level.
Not what you were doing.
Because I will probably mainly be playing MTGO simply to do the stream or to record videos or so on and so forth.
Right.
So if I'm streaming draft that night because that's what people are interested in, then so be it. But I won't be solely doing limited.
Like, Maddie, you and I have been talking about this forever. We tried to fucking convince PookaTrade to do it, and they said that they were going to. But, like, this is where reverse redemption would be fucking awesome. But...
It's still being talked about. It's being hard to do. It would be hard to do.
Like, my as short as I can make it, my short thing on it is this. Yes, it would be extremely hard to do in this, like, for Wizards to do it, for example. Like, you know, to do, like, some sort of reverse redemption sort of deal, because you'd have to ship your cards off, and then they'd have to, yeah, fuck that. They need to fix the client before they do that. But that's why we were talking about it with PookaTrade, because the way the PookaTrade works, there's really no reason other than, like, you know, them having to work it into their system to just have two, like, separate prices for cards on PookaTrade, or, like, Puka Point prices. You know, as far as, like, right now they have prices for foils and for non-foils, so you could also do it, and this is the price, this is the amount of Puka Points it's worth digitally and for a digital foil. And then that way you could literally trade off your paper cards in PookaTrade for... Puka Points, and then purchase digital cards, or, I mean, like, you know, buy digital cards with Puka Points, It would take, obviously, you know, some programming stuff from them. When we had fucking, like, when we talked to them about it on the cast we had them on, they say it's not, you know, too far off. Like, it's not something that's unfeasible. It's just something that they, you know, haven't got to yet. But in that sense, you could literally do that. Like, I could take a bunch of the random shit that I have that I don't, you know, I basically just sits in my rare binder because I don't go to events that often and I don't go to fucking FNMs. I could take that shit that's sitting in my rare binder collecting dust and I could ship that off on Puka Trade, but instead of getting more paper cards that are going to collect dust in my binder or possibly more paper cards that I'm going to use in decks in paper that I'm going to use at my kitchen table or going to collect dust, I could use those, use that to buy digital cards. You know, those same Puka points to buy digital cards. It's a lot cleaner system than, like, say, Moto trying to figure out how to do reverse redemption. And I think it would be a great idea.
I mean, it
would work.
We'll
simply,
see.
But
that's up to them. I did want to say one thing, though. That I'm 100% with David that when redemption was $5 a set, it felt like that I wasn't getting or gaming MTGO. It just felt fair. Like, that felt right. Like good value that I put my money in, I played, I had these cards, and now I'm getting the paper versions.
There's price disparity between Moto cards and fucking, and paper cards, and generally...
Well, you're still buying them anyway. Right. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Like,
generally, Moto's a little bit cheaper than paper, but when, like, you know, we've talked about this before, like, a lot of your, like, fucking staples are more expensive on Moto than they are in paper. Like your tournament staples.
Not written. No, they're not.
Yeah, they.
Not even close. Spotsies is five tickets. It's
$20. Nowadays, without having a lot of constructed PTQs for MTGO, by lowering the value of the Mox tournaments, yes, cards construction value is going to bottom out. A couple of years ago, when that area of MTGO was thriving, it'd make more sense that those cards would be almost more expensive than their paper counterparts, but things have shifted so much then. Constructed has just got to be bottoming out.
Yeah, it's the entire MTGO beast is very bizarre. There are cards on MTGO that are worth 20 times with papers, and then there's the vice versa. It's weird.
What I was getting at with my previous statement, but I think, you know, you are right. Like, I, the last time I really paid attention to, like, the set comparisons or like the price comparisons between the two, was back when we were talking about this before, when it, you know, those tournaments were, like, the dailies and stuff were thriving more, and the premier events were thriving more. It's very well, you are right. It probably isn't as much of a price disparity, and well, there is a price disparity, but it's that all of the Moto cards are cheaper. So at what point does, like, you know, a full set, whether you want to go out and fucking get a full set in paper or on Moto plus $25, where does it become, like, actually more lucrative to just do the fucking whole set redemption on Moto thing? Go out and buy fucking singles and pay the $25, and it still ends up cheaper to do it that way than to get the cards.
Well, this is exactly what I wanted to get to, which is that at $5 a set, it was good. It was really good. At that point, though, remember, that was 2 years ago. And
That was back where some of your fucking staples were a lot more expensive on fucking Moto than they were in paper.
Exactly. So the average price... Out. So check it out. So the average price, I was really looking back at what I was like, and I was trying to snipe cards, but not as aggressively as I do now, because you just have to. But you were at about $140 to $160, if you wanted it in the first month, you know, like, I think it was Innistrad or maybe, New Phyrexia. You were at about $140, I think, you know, like, if you wanted to get your one times playset of your mythics and rares.
Right.
Now, though, 104, cons. Like, consistently, M15 is the only set, and it did bottom at around 120. But it's different now. So, the prices have come down, and maybe it's because V4 sucks. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why it could be. And so this is reason why I'm redeeming, is also for land bases, but for the fact that I've been able to get these sets for a lot cheaper than I used to be. And so if I can snag, it's that $100 barrier. At $100, it gets fair again. Now, there's sets like Gatecrash and Dragon's Maze where it's $25, but it ain't worth the shit that's redeemable. Right, so it right. all comes down to what the actual cards are. Right. But I look at it this way. I look at it this way, right? Like, if I'm buying these cards and I'm using them for a year on Moto, and then I'm redeeming them for $25, and 10 of those cards are playable in Modern, I think that's a good idea. Mm. Now, $25, though, is this, you know, you gotta play shipping too, remember, right? So, it doesn't make sense to redeem one at a time. You wanna do these bulk 10 sets at once kind of thing to get your shipping down.
Right.
Cause you don't wanna get screwed there too. So, we'll see. I mean,
see, this is where I still think, and even saying that, this is where I think, like, God, I hope, like, Puka Trade actually gets that shit going at some point. Because, you know, again, like you were saying, it depends on the set, depends on the playables. Because, I mean, yeah, of course, you don't want to have to, like, you know, somebody like you and I, Maddie, that plays a lot of fucking Magic Online and plays a lot of fucking paper, you know, you don't want to have to, like, you're like, oh, man, well, we don't play as much in paper, but it's like, oh, man, I don't want to have to get this whole fucking set because there's, like, two or three cards in here that I want. But what sucks is when you have, like, fucking eight copies of that on Magic Online and you have zero copies in paper and you really like one for your cube or something like that, whereas obviously instead, you know, you're not going to go gather up a whole goddamn set on Moto so that you can redeem it, pay $25 shipping, wait for it to get here and do all that shit so that you can get a hold of that one or two or three cards.
I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know. Maybe it is.
It may be worth it, but it's also a big fucking pain in the ass. Whereas if, you know, like if this Puka Trade thing ends up happening, where you can go either way, you can, you know, trade your digital cards, Puka points, and get paper cards, or vice versa, back and forth the other way, then you can be like, oh shit, well, all I want out of that is Voice of Resurgence. I've got six digital Voice of Resurgence. I just want one for my fucking cube, so you can do it card at a time, or five cards at a time, or something like that. And it still ends up being the same thing. You're redeeming your digital copies for paper copies, or your paper copies for digital copies, yet you don't have to do it full set at a time. But I don't know.
This sounds lovely. I wouldn't hold my breath on their infrastructure being ready to be able to do this. Yeah. And if they ever thought that they were prepared to do it and could launch it, the first day they would get banged hard by the people trying to, you know, just game the system and get money out of it, which if you were to implement it, those would be the first people to be there. And then as Puka Trade, you'd have to moderate the shit out of that, and it would take forever.
Let's not talk about like that is a complete unknown. The one thing I did want to touch on is a few people, including me, looked into. I didn't pull the trigger. I just don't have the cash. I think I probably made a mistake doing a foil set of cons for the cube. A few people have told me that they've been able to do it for about 330 tickets. So Jesus, man, if they did it for that, which I know online you can look at prices. I think they're saying that it's like 285, but the only problem is good luck trying to find yet. On MTG Goldfish, they say you can do it for 242 tickets, but that's bullshit because when you actually go to the foil bots, they don't have any of the shit.
So when you say do it, Maddie, tell the audience at home exactly what's impossible to do.
It's not impossible.
All right.
It's
well, what's next just, impossible to do?
Okay, so it's not easy to collect a foil set online. Jeebus is on there all the time. There are hardcore foil guys, and they snipe everything. And it's very hard. You may get 50% of the cards, 60% of the cards. It's the last 5% that you will pay through your ass. And they know. Like, they're like, oh, you need this planes? Oh, it's gonna cost you 16 tickets. And you're like, come on! Nope. And that's very classic. So, one thing to do, if you're drafting, this is something a lot of people don't do. Do not sell your foil rares. Actually, don't sell any of your foil cards. If you pull a foil card, just keep it. Do not sell it right away, because that, you're selling it at the lowest possible price in the first couple of weeks. Wait until redemption, and you'll get three or four times what that card is worth.
God, I'm having such flashbacks right now. This reminds me of back before there were bots. Doodly-doo, doodly-doo. I had a friend who his job for, oh my God, way too long, was just MTGO redemption. And I would always have ads up on all my accounts that was buying any foil rare for one.
Yeah.
And he would buy any three foil rares for four from me. sight unseen. So not only was I making 33 cents every time a trade was opened, but I could also just, like, slowly siphon off stuff I wanted that I knew was worth more than 1.33. Oh, my God. I went through so many transactions. And it was one of those things where it was, like, it was too profitable not to be doing 24/7. So I would just leave my computer on, have all of the accounts open on – actually, it took multiple computers – and then just crank the volume and do anything else in your life.
I fucking love this guy.
Oh, my God. No, I remember – because at the time – It was like right out of high school, and we just started community college, my roommate and I. And I remember I had like a 7 a.m. fucking math class, and I'd get back to our place at 10, and the first thing I'm going to do is sleep. But really the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that MTGO is launched properly and everything is set. And I'll never forget, like, there was one day where I was just about to nod off, and the sound came up, and I was like, nope, got to get up, got to get it, could be good. Go and buy fucking 3 shitty foil rares from somebody.
Yeah, it, for me, it's I know Ferret convinced me many, or he tried to convince me many times that it is, if you have free time, and this is what it all comes down to, if you have free time, it's probably worth it, because even, it may cost you, let's say, $350, but you could walk into any game store and say, how much you want for these set of foil fetch lands? Like, you just paid for that. Like, Snap paid for it. Probably made $100. Like, and you got all the other cards that you could just dump off. So it's interesting. I love foils. I love shiny in real life, but it is
God damn it. I wish I could come up with a fucking like a temperature proof solution for foils, because I'm literally at the point. I was just looking through my cube the other night, and I'm like, I'm literally at the point where I'm going to just fucking pull all the foils out of my fucking cube. And as much as I love the look of them, it's just like living in the desert, man. It fucks with them. Like, you can see all the fuck by, like, David,
only
you know this.
Very, very nice Maddie Studio style box that would keep them all nice and flat.
It's not going to temperature control them.
It's not going to temperature control them, but if you put enough in there, they're not moving around.
Oh, it can't go anywhere.
Oh, dude, what are you talking about? That thing's like a humidor. It's awesome.
That's what I need. The goddamn temperature controlled environment for my cube. Like, David, do you have the same issue with foils?
I've had issue with foils.
Of course you guys do. It's the same thing, man, here. You have your cards inside, you go outside, and it's minus 50, and there's no humidity in the air? Yeah.
So.
That's what it is, dude. Anyway, moving on.
Redeeming regular MTGO sets. Profitable thing to do, good thing to do if you play a little bit of MTGO but want to play more paper, yes or no?
We've delved into this since day one of this cast. I have no answer for you because it all changes.
I mean, you've been answering the question before, but the environment keeps changing. And nowadays, MTGO, to me, should be a barren wasteland. Like, I haven't logged on in, like, 5 months. So I don't actually know what it looks like there. It's like, I only hear accounts from people on the other side of the wall. I'm always like, how is it over there? And they're like, I don't know, some events fire. But then I try to thoughtseize somebody, and I don't know what to do, and... I'll say this.
It is drastically harder to find games, and the quality of opponent in testing rooms is abysmal. Yeah. It is very abysmal. In fact, many times I log on, go to play a game in the modern room, and think that I've mistakenly logged on to the Anything Goes room, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I just quit the match, go back, and I log on, it's the same guy. He's like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, this match. And they'll be playing some retarded, like, Stan, like, this is the modern room.
This is what it's come down to.
He's like, I think blue-white heroic is gonna beat modern. I'm like, ah, for fuck's sake, I'm wasting my time, man.
Literally what it's come down to, I've come to the realization, as sad as this is, I still keep pumping money into fucking Moto because, like, I don't really have much of a choice other than that.
David, and you have Drunk Booze Cube. It's not that bad.
You have way more choices than me.
Shit like that. But it's like to be able to just play some good fucking competitive Magic, you know, at a whim, because it's like, you know, that's the thing, is it's one thing if I'm like, oh, hey, I'm going to have David come over, or I have fucking Daniel come over, and we can actually sit down and play some Magic. It's a bit of an ordeal whereas oh, sweet, you know, wife fell asleep early. I can get in some Moto before I go to bed, you know, and I can fucking play some matches because I've got busy shit going on in life. But so I still like, but what I've realized is like nowadays, like in order for me to play test my decks at all, I have to spend 2 tickets a fucking match to do it. Like I
I
literally have.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Just I literally have just said, okay, I'm going to accept the fact that if I want to play test, then I can't go into the fucking like play test room because it's a bunch of fucking garbage. It's if I want to actually fucking play against good opponents with fucking decent decks, I have to like enter a 2-man over and over and over again. And yeah, I'm dealing with just, you know, a whole bunch of burn decks, and I've figured out how to deal with the burn mirror pretty well. other than that, it's like, all right, well, you know, it is what it is. Like, I can at least get in, I can play some fucking matches, I can have fun, instead of, like, to me, it's not fun when I'm just like, oh, God, dude, I'm playing against the guy that hates burn, especially right now, where it's like the guy that hates burn decks or the fucking blue red fucking Delver deck, and like his whole fucking deck is built to beat mine because that's what everybody is fucking playing right now. And so like I've got to deal with this guy that's built this fucked up green, blue and fucking purple combination that is just like built to beat my deck. And I'm like, oh, good, this is fun.
But that is what's happened. Mm-hmm. Like, the metagame right now, especially in Modern, is burn decks. Like, online, it's 50% of the decks are burn.
It's burn.
And the other 50% are Delver and anti-burn decks.
Exactly, and that's exactly it. And it's, like I said, I've learned to deal with the fucking mirror match very well. Like, my deck is not a burn deck. Well, I mean, my deck is a fucking burn deck, but it's not your fucking normal fucking burn deck, modern burn deck. And because
it is, you know, your deck is literally becoming the new standard. Which
that's what, like, I'm stuck in. Well, I'm not stuck in this. I put myself in this middle ground where, like, you have the straight burn decks that are running red and white, and that's it. And you have the Delver Pyromancer decks that are running a bunch of burn spells and treasure crews, but they're running a bunch of fucking creatures too. They're running fucking Delver, they're running fucking Goblin Guide, they're running Swift Spear, and they're running Pyromancer. And I still just, I'm not on board with Pyromancer because like what I do is just not give a shit about your Pyromancer and burn you to the face because I've got a lot more burn spells than you do because you've used up these slots in your deck for these very effective creatures. I get that, but like I don't care that your Pyromancer is shitting out tokens because, you know, I've...
Yes, you do, because every time they counter your burn spell, they make a dude. They outrace you.
I don't get a chance to play as much as I've liked to lately, but I've never had a problem with it. Every time I deal with fucking the Delver Pyromancer deck, I win, because as they're shitting out 1/1 tokens, I just finish burning them to the face instead, and I win the race. it keeps happening over and over. At first, I thought it was kind of a fluke, but I was like, no, I just keep winning these matches. So I'm okay with it. Like I'm fine with my matchup against the fucking Delver deck because it, like, they've got more creatures, I've got more burn, and it tends to work in my favor. You know, it's like the straight up fucking mono red or red white burn match that I deal with. It kind of depends. That I'm weaker to that matchup than I am the fucking, like, the Delver decks. But I've got no fucking problem with it. My only problem is it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'd actually like to play against some other decks other than the mirror match and the other mirror match, basically. And
yeah, I mean, this is why that we have the Heavy Metal SVU clan, right? Like, mm-hmm. So what I do right now is, like, most people see it, when I want to test, I'll just tweet people. I'm like, I want to run the gauntlet. Who's with me? And
you know what? As much as I talk about,
I get way better quality.
I live in a shit a shit area for playing Magic and paper, so I have to resort to Magic Online. Magic Online has turned into the fact that I have to spend 2 tickets to fucking actually play that. And I live on the fucking West Coast, which means by time I'm ready to play Magic, like when this podcast is over, and I'm like, fuck yeah, now I'm fucking down to play some fucking matches. I'm excited. I'm all into Magic right now. Yeah, let's do this, and nobody is awake anymore. So I'm like, oh sweet, like maybe if I stretch it out long enough, the Aussies wake up and are ready to play Magic.
There you go.
And that's if I don't care about what I have to do at work tomorrow morning. So it's like I'm in the weird spot where every time I log on to Moto, I can't be like, oh, hey, SVU, fucking the clan, let's fucking playtest. Because every time I log on to Moto, it's, you know, like 10, 11, 12 o'clock, you know, Pacific time, which means you guys on that side of the country are all long in bed and not playing Moto anymore. So I get to deal with those, like you said, those two or three guys that are like playing the same deck. I'll log off, log on, or I'll fucking be like, oh, whatever. Concede the match. I'm fucking over it. And then come back and it's just the same guy, or I have to wait 20 minutes for a fucking match and I'm ready to go to sleep and I'm just over it. So yeah, I pretty much realized I got to pay $2 a match.
And, yeah, it's really weird.
If I keep winning, then I can sell those packs and get tickets, so I don't have to pay the $2 a match. But I'm also Kevy Metal, and I like things, like shiny things. I like to buy things. I like to get things. And so I can't keep packs to save my fucking life. I'm that asshole that, like, opens packs on Moto left and right. Like, I win packs out of a fucking two-man, and I was just all, I should go to bed and sell those tomorrow and play for free. Then I'm like, no, I should open them and see what's in them. Oh, yep, bulk rares. All right, I'm going to bed.
Nah, never open your pack. Ever.
That's we've got bad, some great bad. Advice and some bad advice. That is the bad advice.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I click up, to, like, for you, Maddie, you're the only one that'll understand this, but from way back in the day, and I always told you I didn't fucking understand this, when I actually I started buying packs here and there again, just, you know, like, since cons came out and, the you know, the fucking fetches and all, I've bought a few packs recently, and, I think I finally understand your fucking smelling the ink bullshit.
See?
I used to give you shit about.
Oh, it's so good, dude. You crack the pack, you sniff it. I love it. I even got my kids doing that now.
I really.
For decades, I've been saying that should be a cologne.
I
don't think I would wear it.
Smelling your packs, and
I'm totally okay with whatever I get attracted by new card smell. I am perfectly fine with that.
You know what? You go to Kevy Metal GP house and a dick comes flopping at your face. You're going to be like, hey, man.
You're fucking too.
You're like, oh, I knew I signed up for this.
Yeah, well, that's right. You're like, I'm all in. Let's go. Chips on the table. Oh, no. Did we lose again?
Are you here?
Oh, no. We're back. Woo! We almost died.
That was close.
Yeah, Skype doesn't like us for some reason. I don't know why. But
I think it's aligned with MTGL. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, Worth is Worth is running Skype right now. Fucking garbage.
All you guys did was for the last 20 minutes talk about how much you don't like the MTGO experience. After the 21st minute, saying how much you still used it and will continue to use it.
Oh, it's the welcome to heavy meta.
Yeah, that, look, it is. I've said this before.
You like it, dude, this isn't a heavy meta fucking episode.
There's no other option, so it is what it is. Anyway,
get out
it
of
is
your goddamn
time.
House. You go play Magic with people.
Oh my
God. Or if you're Kevy, you get people into your house. You get them to take their pants down. Play Magic. Everyone has a good time eventually.
Yeah, they don't get through. You don't get through a hand of Magic. All right, well, it is time, folks. There is a hole that we all know, and I think it's a slippery slope all around the edges right now. I think we're going in. I don't know if there's an order to this. Actually, before we go down the Twitter hole, I had a free 15-20 minutes, and I mocked up Apocalyptic Foam. And I don't know if anyone has seen that logo, but I am printing that on a shirt. I think that is fucking amazing. I love it.
Oh, speaking of shirts, shout out to fucking nobody because my awesome Teespring shirt did not fucking tip. I think two people ordered it. And that was and everybody talked about it. Like I saw like there was a Facebook thread that fucking Crazy Joe the fucking judge like linked me to. And he's just like, apparently people like your shirt. And there's a whole fucking Facebook thread about it. It's like, oh, dude, I fucking need this. My Lands in Front shirt. And, yeah, two people fucking bought it. And I kept saying, I was like, well, if you like it, fucking buy it. Everybody just thought it was funny and then just fucking left it at that. They didn't want to buy the shirt. So I'm fucking over making t-shirts, except for fucking heavy meta. Like, we can do heavy meta shirts, but I think I'm over this whole Born Broken thing.
Yeah, I love it. Now you haven't gotten your fame.
Yeah, I'm finally fucking over it. I'm like, whatever. I think the things that I think are funny, everybody else only thinks are funny enough to laugh at and not buy a t-shirt of.
I agree 100% with that. So we're going in. Here we go, folks. We're going into Twitter hole.
Who goes this Twitter hole?
Yeah, William DeZabor, Blood Fray Giant, says, you Toronto people, Quebec isn't that dirty. I'm like, yeah, Quebec is pretty dirty. Next question. That was an inside joke for those Canadians. Proxy Guy asks, should supplemental sets also be available in paper, be redeemable on MTGO?
That sounds like a giant pain in the ass. Like, if I buy an MTGO commander deck, do I really want to go through all the actions and pay the fees to have it redeemed and sent to me?
I mean, why would I do that? Because it's already pre-built. Yeah, I don't think so. I think actually that gives them the ability to just print shit like Vintage Masters that we can play. Because you ain't playing it anywhere else. In fact, you're not even playing it on MTGO, says most people. Vintage format sucks. Moving on, we have Brent Wood, Ugly Wiener Dog. He says, you all decide to become professional wrestlers. What magic card would inspire your names and finishing moves? That's a good one. That's interesting.
It's persona and finishing move?
Yeah, we become professional wrestlers. We pick a magic card that has to be our... I mean, I guess we could pick two different cards, right?
Right, I think you have to pick two different cards. You have to pick a card that's kind of your character, and then you have to pick a card that would be the name of your finisher.
Yeah, I agree. Kevy would obviously be Kibble. This finishing move would be the Treasure Cruise, right?
Ah, it'd be Lightning Bolt. Like, that one's just way too easy for me. I'm like, fucking, I look like Tybalt, my character is Tybalt, and my finishing move is I just rain down lightning from the heavens. Like... Yeah.
Well, mine would be, and this is a homage back to the 90s when wrestling was really good and, and Stone Cold when he would crack beers. I would be obviously, I would obviously be a Johnny. And my finishing move would be the warm milk, where I just spray my opponent with frickin' warm milk.
Yeah. No? Yeah, yeah. That was a critical move back in the day, for sure.
I think that would be a good one.
I think I have to go vintage here. I would say that I would be the Tinkerer, and my finisher would be the Colossus.
And what involves the Colossus?
I imagine it's some kind of, like, hefty slam maneuver, although being on the shorter side of the wrestlers, I don't know. Because, like, I don't want to end up with, like, a grapple is such a shitty finisher that you don't want to...
I wonder if your move, the Colossus sounds like a move where...
Sounds like a high rope, high risk, high reward maneuver. Like, you gotta go top rope. It's like a jumping, almost like a jumping suplex, I would imagine.
I think it also involves a table of some kind.
Hello?
Always
the Colossus.
Oh!
Oh, damn
you
it!
You can fucking hear me?
Now? Yeah, look. Yeah, Hans. We can hear you.
It's got me.
Yeah, yeah.
This bear is coming. We were trying to cover for you the whole time. We're like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 and we were just
like, while you guys were talking about MTGO, I was not talking whatsoever because fuck MTGO. And, like, then I started talking and you guys just ignored me. I was like, something's not right.
He's like, shit, man. I fucking burned my bridges now.
Yeah, man. They're ignoring me. You know what?
Oh, wait. Did I piss them all off?
All right. Well, we are deep
I've,
in
I've
the Twitter
I've heard everything
hole.
You've said, so you don't have to catch me up. I've heard all of you all guys. Right. So,
have you ever seen the episode of South Park where they just pretend Cartman is a ghost and they just or they ignore Cartman and Cartman thinks he's a ghost? We need
I'm
to start.
Sure that's what happened.
We need.
Oh my god! The beginning of that episode is so good with the toilet and the chicken skins. Oh yeah.
Oh man, we have to watch South Park all together. That'd be awesome.
Oh my god, all right, David. Episodes, because that's what I think of you Canadian people.
Done. I will sit there and my head will flap.
That shit is so old at this point.
I know. It's not
crazy. It's not old. It's still fucking funny.
I mean, it's vintage at this point. Vintage South Park.
Oh no, they keep doing it. They keep doing it over and over. They just had one recently this season where the Canadians are still driving around with square tires and shit. It's fucking hilarious.
We have
something for everybody.
Yes.
I
like to think I identify with you Canadian people now. Like, I feel like I'm naming myself as an American. I'm naming myself an honorary Canadian because I deal with.
We accept you. We accept.
I'll believe it when it's on the side of your car.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to send you down an awesome Canadian decal you can stick on the back. It says, I eat Canadian beaver.
Yes! Yes!
Sorry. If anyone can find this, I have seen this. I know it exists. I just can't find it anymore, and I've looked everywhere. And it was a decal for the back of your window. I used to see this all the time, like about 10 years ago on pickup trucks. And it had a beaver. And it says "I eat Canadian beaver," but the beaver is standing there, and there's two ladies' legs coming around him. It is this hilarious shit I've ever seen.
Why don't you just lay that shit out, Mr. Graphic Designer, and just start making a heavy meta sticker?
That's true. That's true. What am I doing? What am I doing here?
Come on.
I'm lazy as shit. We're going back to the Twitter hole. Here we go.
Whoa. Who is David? What? Oh. Who is David the Magic Wrestler? We haven't answered this question.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Who is your wrestler?
Who is my wrestler? Fuck.
And don't pick a bear.
Don't pick a bear. I'm gonna go, like, I'm not gonna go for, like, favorite cards or anything like that. Like, it's just, like, purely...
It's all flavor.
All flavor. I'll be, like, Crash the Blood Braided, would be, like, my wrestling name. What's a good finishing move card-wise?
It's gotta be something. The Batter Skull.
Well, the Batter Skull Clamp.
That's a good one.
God.
The Jitte?
Yeah.
No.
I'm terrible at this stuff, but...
The Dig Through Time.
What, you gonna dig through his ass?
You guys are not helping me whatsoever.
You basically pull his pants down, you just start digging through time. And he's like, what are you gonna tap out, man? I can't take anymore. And you're like, I'm digging through time.
No, it's gotta be Swords to Plowshares Eat a Dick. I mean, that's...
Yes!
Oh.
Yes, I like how you brought it back. I like that.
You gotta go to that.
Done. Kyle Steenbergner. Cooley, I believe, Kaylee, on Twitter says, not a question, but tomorrow is my 20th birthday, and a shout-out on my favorite podcast would be sweet.
1, 2, 3, shout-out, you know, go!
Yeah, well, we'll send that over to Money Draft Millionaires. I'm sure they can shout you out.
I'm sure they'll shout you out. That'd be fucking sweet.
We're just kidding. Huge shout-out for you, Kyle. Boom!
Happy birthday,
that's what you get.
Happy fucking birthday. Sad that you can't drink.
Yeah.
Not yet. Oh, even Canada, you'd be
legally.
If he's Canuckanese, hey. Then there you go. Happy Hanukkah.
yeah, it is your Jewish holiday. Hey, all right, we're going. Michael Perry, Tank of Dank. God knows where that guy's been, although he has some porn star for a girlfriend, so I guess that figures it out. His question is, that's where he's been. He's been eating beaver. What is the pick order for the most fuckable MTG players, male or female, bonus points if regionally classified?
What? Huh? Pick order?
I know. Okay, so I will read it again slower. What is the pick order? Let's go 1, 2, 3. For the most fuckable MTG players, male or female, bonus points if regionally classified. I don't know why he wants them regionally classified, but whatever.
That ain't happening.
We'll try and get the bonus points. All right.
I'm gonna go.
Most fuckable MTG players.
Melissa Del Toro?
Yeah. In number three? Okay, do your three. Are we just going to rank them and all, like, throw
know,
in?
I'm like, just throwing random names out. I don't know whether there's three, like, ranked fuckable MTG girl players. Like, I'm not putting Brian Kibler on there.
Male or female?
All I'm going to say is I'm putting Boats on the list. Regardless,
Boats is pretty. You know what? He's attractive.
I'm gonna go wild card, and I'm gonna put Boats on the list. I'm probably gonna go with like fucking Melissa Del Toro, and I don't know, fucking.
What about Jackie Lee?
Jackie Lee's all right. I've seen her in person. She's, I guess, fucking.
Tifa's hot. Tifa Robles, whatever. Mike.
She a magic player?
Yeah, she's like MTG or Lady MTG Society, whatever it's called. Yeah, she's fucking hot.
What about that chick from that like robot pants show?
But what I'm going to say is, at some point, Boats gets one on my list because I'm just gonna wild card it and fucking I'd bang fucking Conley Wood. Fuck it, he's a big man. I'd do it.
I would say for all our female listeners, obviously Kibler. I'd never say Marshall's probably fuckable as well. Who else? Oh, and then what about Sonic Boom? Frickin' Guile. He's
Guile.
The blonde, the Swedish Kibler. That's your 1, 2, 3 for you girls.
Dude, fucking Tom Ross is like straight up the Fonz.
Tom Ross is fucking badass. Tom Ross, he could do a flip. Fucking, yeah, okay.
He's the Fonz. You gotta fucking hook him up too. He's gotta be on the list.
Definitely at some point do a themed like girl talk episode of Heavy Meta. I think I like where this is going.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course you do. As soon as we bring up Conley Woods and Tom Ross, you're like, yeah, I'm into this.
Well, the awkward thing is, like, you keep
full episode.
I know, and I feel awkward being like, yeah, that's the guy, bang. Yeah.
Well, then just don't say it. Like, they're you know, going off on their own. Like, that's fine. Like, I already said, you know, if I was a chick, I would make that list. But it, as a guy, like, there's a limited amount of, like, professionally known fuckable female MTG players. That,
I mean,
I think
I think Connolly's his appeal kind of linked to knowing him and what he's capable of in and outside the bedroom. But I don't want to.
I think Connolly's a great dude, and I don't give a fuck.
I'm not gonna bang him.
I'm not gonna bang him. Like, it's simply because of the fact that, you know, he has a dick. He's excluded from my fuckable list. Like, that's all there is to it.
This coming from like the drop trow dick magic Friday Night House. I don't know why
he choked the guy. He choked him out for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like that didn't end well for him. If Conley Woods came at me with his dick out, he would end up in the same place. I don't care that he's Conley Woods.
Yeah, we all like to choke a girl every now and then, right?
Dude, I don't mind choking a girl, but I don't.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, look, guys,
if
I just say this right now.
If they request it, I'm a gentleman. Yeah.
They request it.
You know what? This show should be banned from the internet. We're crossing every line
absolutely
that you could cross.
I do like the fact that there was a time, Maddie, where. Like, even though
we tried to not offend the world,
we were the younger, more raw heavy metal that was literally just, we don't know what the fuck we're doing, and we're just yelling drunken nonsense, and we were the edgy podcast. And now that we've become a little more calm and structured, and we've got magic content and shit like that, somehow we've become more offensive because we stopped giving a shit, and we're like, whatever, fuck it. We'll say shit like this. It don't fucking matter.
It's personal opinion. Fuck them.
Look, all I know is this. I think whoever started this whole Twitter whole fucking segment, this is their fault. But anyways, moving on to get even more offensive. Josh Knight, Steam Flogger Josh has a question for us.
Flogger Josh.
That is a good Steam name, by the way.
It's not bad. Hey, man. Headman SU, you got some good names.
Oh, he says. This sounds like my best friend Josh, even though I know it's not his Twitter name. Like, after him chasing David down with his fucking wiener, it's like, it's, you know, Steam Flogger Josh would have been fucking sweet.
Well, his question is has nothing to do with wieners, so it's not him. He says new game. You're locked in a room for 3 weeks with three co-hosts. Pick one to kill, one to eat, and one to kill for fun. And one to play V4 with.
Wait, three co-hosts and that was...
Yeah, wait, his math doesn't... eat. Oh, kill and eat. Okay. Kill and eat. I was sorry that I had to kill one guy.
That's not killing
guy,
for pleasure. That's for food. The other one's killing for pleasure. And the other one is killing by torture.
So you could have just said eat. You didn't need to say kill and eat,
I
obviously.
Assume if you're getting eaten, it's not just the asshole.
Oh, well, then it would have been a funner game.
We're talking sustenance here.
Okay. All right, new game. All right, we're locked in a room. This is Saw. This is heavy meta.
This is the question, though. Like, are you talking co-host as in, like, we just get to pick our random co-host from throughout the universe? Or are we talking, like, Magic Podcast co-host? Or are we talking, like, this cast?
I think we have to stay Magic Podcast.
I mean, is it anyone that... I don't know. How wide do you want to go? I assumed... It was just the three of us.
That's what
that
I assumed.
Involved in the
yeah, I think it's us because everyone else isn't our co-host, Kevy.
Oh, okay, I get you.
He's using logic again. I know it's your weakness.
Stupid. That's not what we.
It's your kryptonite. It's your hypodermic needle.
Hypodermic needle from the hospital.
So run it by me again. We're eating somebody. What are we doing?
We're killing someone. We're eating someone, and we're basically playing V4 with the other person. So we're torturing them.
Wow. Well, I'm not eating Kevy because there's nothing on there but bone.
Okay.
See? This is why I do this, to keep from getting eaten.
Smart, smart. Smart.
if this ever happens, you know, this is why I stay skinny, is to keep from getting eaten by you motherfuckers.
I feel like I'm inclined to play V4 with David because we both have the same outlook on it, which is it can just eat a dick.
I'm getting barbecued, obviously.
Maddie's getting cooked.
There's enough meat.
Kevy's getting killed for fun, and I'm playing V4.
All right, God damn it, Marcel, you're going to have to cook me up good for that one. All right, well, I guess I would – there's no way I'm eating Kevy because I don't know what diseases I would get. I would probably have to – I'd probably have to eat David.
See? Again, this is why I do what I do.
I have to eat David because, like, he's too good at grappling to play with. I would probably have to kill Kevy just straight up because he would scream too much while me and Kristen were probably playing cube drafts.
I would probably interrupt it a lot.
Yeah.
Kevy?
I'm gonna go with, let's see. I'm going to make TSG play V4 with me. And
I mean,
just,
I'm really glad you guys want me to play Magic, but you realize this is just a form of torture.
Yes, exactly.
I know, exactly.
I got, but it's got a role. The die has to fall where it falls. Whatever. That's a proverb I just made up. I'm playing V4 with TSG. I'm eating Maddie because I know that motherfucker eats good, so he's probably, you know, healthy and.
Organically raised up in Canada.
And I'm gonna fucking like kill David because I feel like it's gonna be a fucking blood sport match. Like I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. If I'm gonna go out, like I've already made Tristan play fucking V4. I've already eaten Maddie. Like I got nothing left, man. Like this is fucking, you know, apocalypse style. I know it's only 3 weeks, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm not coming out of here alive, or I'm coming out here and I killed fucking David. So. I'm not assuming I'm just going to be able to kill David, but I'm going to attempt to kill David.
Nice.
All right, my turn. One is pretty easy. Like, Maddie, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to eat you.
Like, all right, man.
Out of the three of you guys, I've seen all three of you in person, so, like, you're the one I would eat.
All right, sweet.
You look tasty.
Oh, yeah, man.
You just have the most meat on your bones, like, you know. And that's just
the
way
hair
it goes.
To meat ratio,
plan ahead.
I feel like.
Huh?
The hair to meat ratio. Yeah, I'm already blocked, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're what, like close to, you're around 6 foot tall?
Yep.
Around 220 pounds, something like that.
Whoa, wow, you're good. Bingo.
He's sizing you up Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, he's,
I know,
he's
holy
good
shit,
as
man.
Up opponents, but he can also translate.
I already know how long I'd put you in the oven. Me and my Nazi bear would cook you. That went dark real quick. the other two, that one's questionable. I don't know who. I think I would have to kill. I'm gonna have to kill TSG simply because nobody else has really wanted to kill you. So it's your turn to die.
He and I are gonna torture you,
and then Kevy and I are going to get drunk and stumble through V4, or not stumble through V4.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my answer.
All right. Well, that was interesting.
For me, because nobody ate me, and then I get to fucking hang out and just play V4 with David. Like, I think I came out of this fucking 3 week ordeal pretty sweet. But, you know, if you just mash them all together, like, I ate Maddie. And, well, you know, like, apparently David. Well,
I think I ran the gauntlet, right? I played Magic, I got eaten, and I got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I was the only one that was all David, three different.
You hit for the cycle, man.
Yeah, I mean, we can universally agree, no one wants to eat Kevy. No part of this.
Yeah, that's the universal rule as far as heavy meta saw goes. Don't
heavy meta saw.
Oh, buddy.
Don't eat the disease-riddled freaking anorexic rock star, because that's not going to end well.
The most meat is in his dick.
Yeah. There's a quote right there for you.
Yeah, I'll put that one on the Twitter.
Oh God!
We're gonna move fast. No, we're moving fast.
I got a lot of Twitter stuff too here. So.
I know. We got a good one though. Dirtle Herder, Brendan Morrow.
Dirtle
Herder's awesome. Hey man, I had to segue into this one. It's perfect. He just talked about your dick being meaty. He says, Brendan Morrow, if you had to give your dick a nickname, that was a Magic card, What card would it be?
Year of Days.
Year of Days? Yes! Oh, God. That's money right there.
Winner.
That's not bad.
Winner.
No. Come on. You got to rack your brain here.
That's really hard to beat, man. That's so good on so many levels.
That's what he says about his dick.
It's really
hard to beat.
It's eaten up so many days of my life. Yeah. I'm going to go with Brian Stoutarm.
Nice. Oh. Nice.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
I'm going to cop out. I'm the batter skull.
Okay.
Batter
skull. Oh, that. All right, that's not bad. I guess I'll go with Thrun the Last Troll. How about that?
Oh my God.
You got troll dick? That sounds very
regenerative.
Yeah, I was either that or Primeval Titan, which maybe that's...
Whoa, wait, what's the flavor text on the Thrun the Last Troll? Because that sounds like it shouldn't be used for your dick.
I think it says many thought he wasn't the last, but he was.
No, it's something different. Hold on, I got my cube next to me. I know he's in there somewhere.
Can I change my answer to act of treason?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Oh, I was gonna say Kevy's is animate dead, but.
Oh. That's a good one. I was gonna say you could name a treasure cruise. Ooh. Because you know it pleases the ladies, but
buried alive.
now this is the bonus round. Like, just what good dick names can we come up with as magic cards?
Oh my God.
wait a minute. What midget cards are there in magic? Let's...
Hey, can we just go with Grizzlebrand? Like, that sounds fucking...
Oh man.
I think the quickness and the obscurity of Eater of Days was...
Yes, that was a clear winner. That was absolutely fucking perfect.
I'm not just here for my magic knowledge, ladies.
Hey, now can we go the other direction? Can we go with?
Wait. You know what Kevy's dick should be called? The Dark Confidant. Because it gets you to do things you don't really want to do.
That's true. True.
You could also call it Great Whale.
Do we have vagina names for
the Leviathan? Actually, why did I pick Leviathan?
Bone Splitter. That's a vagina name.
The Colossus of Sardinia. That's awesome right there.
Doomgape is another good vagina.
Doomgape.
Doomgape.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that
Bitter
is just...
Blossom?
Oh, yeah. No, that's for your asshole.
Yeah, Bitter Blossom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Now we're naming up. What about titties? Let's go. Let's just keep going, boys.
Oh, my God.
Titties are harder.
Valakut, the molten pinnacle. That's what my dick is called.
That's a good one. Oh, wait. Back to vaginas. Best... Back to vaginas. Birthing pod.
Oh, wow. It's over. It's done.
Murderous cuts.
No. Misty Rainforest. No, that's the Golden Shower one. That's what that is. Oh, my goodness gracious. Raging Ravine. That's when she's angry, bleeding all over.
Cavern of Souls.
Oh, God.
The Cavern of Souls where all dicks go to die.
Oh, my God.
This is
bribery.
Horrendous. Bribery. No, that's what the asshole's called. Hey, oh, my goodness.
Hey, I think what it really comes down to is fortune.
Oh, what? Man, that's...
Wheel of Fortune.
You never
know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to get.
Giant oyster?
Oh.
Giant oyster. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, so here we go. We're moving here.
try to move past this, Matthew.
Yeah, I know. There's no moving past it. Good old Norbert 88 asks, "What are your favorite basic lands?" Oh, that's easy.
Probably island followed by swamp.
No. He specified. He means the type, like unglued, unhinged, beta, alpha.
Unglued. I am part of the unglued cult.
Unglued.
Unhinged, man. The good ones.
Alpha.
And I was gonna say, like, Triss is gonna say alpha or beta. That's
well,
all
I mean, I'm really gonna say beta because those have three artworks and alpha only has two each.
Yeah. But
that is what ladies.
But I mean, those are kind of the givens. Like, did you know, Norbert? Did you really expect any of us to be like all Innistrad? Like,
No, but I mean, there are a number of good ones, because there's also the Guru Lands. There's a number of
The Guru Lands are
highly sought after. So I think
Maddie, you could have capitalized on just calling out fucking the Therese Nielsen fucking land.
I know.
That's a name. But
I don't even. Yeah, but you know, oh man, I hate to say it, but I don't really like the art on them.
No, they're not great.
They're not that nice. I think the Zendikar lands are better. I know. Hey, the name's great.
You named her lands that are worth fucking ridiculous amount of money.
I know.
And you aren't even gonna fucking just cop to it and be like, oh yeah, those are fucking great.
I'm honest, man.
That's how we know that you're fucking pure of heart.
I just don't. They're not. Zendikar lands are better.
Did you other fucking hosts know that shit? Fucking Maddie actually got to name those fucking Judge Pack lands that fucking are circulating around, costing way too much money.
How do we all not know that story? He fucked up her name less than 24 hours.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Don't you remember me getting ripped the entire next?
That's true.
Yeah. okay, so Mishka Brown asked, stuck at work pulling a double. Could I get a good BDF boner sick or fart joke? Or a poop story to brighten my day.
How does a poop story brighten your day? That seems like
hey, man. that would browse.
It's all about delivery, man. It's all about delivery.
That's in more ways than one.
Jesus Christ. This is what it turned into?
pretty sure.
Here's a great idea. Geez. Let's get some real magic players on this podcast so we can get them to talk about poop.
Jeez, I don't know if I have any good shit stories lately.
Stories.
Yeah. I will have to work on that for you.
I got years after the fact, I had what I assume was only some of the worst food poisoning I've ever had in my entire life. Oh my God, how many years ago was this? Probably like at least a decade. I remember it was a Friday night. My friends and I, we were going to go to the skate rink, and we were just, I don't remember what we were doing. We were just going to skate for some reason. That's how long ago this was, back when that was something I would do recreationally. 100
I've
pounds
been
ago.
There. I've done that. I've literally, I've gone out of town to go to free skate before.
To be so have I.
So it was Friday night. We stopped at probably some fast food joint. I don't want to name names. I don't want to point fingers. If I had to guess, it was Wendy's.
All right.
And so we hit up good old Wendy's, and we were on our way to the ice rink. And the ice rink, from where I was living at the time, was probably like 45 minutes away. So it was, you know, you had a little time to let food settle. It was a Friday night. Everything was fine. We were looking just normal every Friday night. We get to the skate rink, get our skates, get out there on the ice. And probably 5 minutes in, I'm not feeling so great. And I'm kind of like, oh, man, what did I eat? Like, I don't know. And my friends are, you know, they're fucking doing laps. Even back then, I was fucking slow skater. So I don't fucking see them. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just stop by the can. I'll be back. This won't be a big deal. And between me exiting the ice and trying to walk to the restroom, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I was about.
Shit happened.
It was about. Boy, I mean, like, I didn't lose it on the way physically, but I was very close to just kind of losing it.
You were doing the clench of death, as we say.
It wasn't even that. It was just more like I felt like I was sweating profusely and I felt I was white in the face, but I have no idea. So this all seems like even at this point, the story is pretty pedestrian to myself. It's like, whatever, you ate something shitty, and now you're going to go shit it out. Good for you. And I find myself heading towards the restroom of the rink. And I get to the men's restroom. And it's like a half practice facility, half, like, recreational skate area. So there are a lot of, like, kids running around on Friday night. A lot of, like, people of all ages playing hockey there. From fucking peewee to beer league. And the restroom I go to, the side of the rink that I'm on, it is, so for some reason, the lights are out on 80% of the bathroom. Like, only the light on the way in is operating, and everywhere else it's fucking pitch black. And at first, obviously this doesn't faze you. You don't stop and think about the fact that you're going to be spending more than 5 minutes in this place. Uh-huh. So I get to a stall, And at this point, there's no time to get comfortable. There's no time to consider my surroundings or whatever. It's just immediately drop trow and do your business.
Handle it. Handle
somehow,
it.
Handle your business, okay?
Somehow I'm in a stall that the bowl is really low in comparison to, like, the fact that I am wearing skates and thusly my legs, my knees are, like, fucking up in my chin. By sitting on this toilet.
you're sitting in an actual hole, aren't you?
It's so fucking awkward. But again, at the time, you're thinking, like, you know, whatever. I'm in and out of here. Obviously, this shit is going to shoot right through me, quite literally. Not a problem. I'm uncomfortable. I'm in skates that are tied really tight. And, you know, like, it hurts, but whatever. I'm no biggie. Then I proceed to void my bowels for the next 30 minutes in a very nice. Uncomfortable, unfortunate, everything that's inside of me is coming out of me because something is horribly wrong and all my body can do is hit eject.
Your feet are asleep.
No, I mean, like, it got to the point where I could no longer hear water in the bowl when impacts were made.
Oh,
because... oh no.
He's building a Mount Vesuvius in there.
Yeah, yeah. And since it's pitch black in there, you have no idea, like, when I walked in, was it low flow? Was it full flow? Like, what's really going on? How much room do I have to work with? It was a very unfortunate situation. And since I'm in there, and it's not like it's all shooting out of you at once. You kind of have to wait for the process to take hold and take
place.
Yeah. There are moments of silence. There is time that I kind of effectively have for myself. And then
pray to
during
your
those times, fucking kids keep coming in and checking on the door and seeing if it's open and stuff. And I'm like, there's somebody in here, guys.
Yeah. So hey, or you do the cough. You're just... Yeah, I'm shitting. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Okay, so did you make it out of there? Did you survive?
I just have this very vivid memory of sitting there, and like, at this point, I'm mulling over back and forth, like, well, maybe if I stretch my legs out, I could try to take my skates off. And then I'm thinking of, like, well, if I change positions, like, my balls might drip lower, and then I'm just gonna, like, dunk them in actual shit.
All right, well, you know, okay, you brought up you've triggered my memory. I didn't have a story of anything funny that I shit, but I have been, and I know many times you've been taking a shit and the guy next to you does something retarded. So I was at Costco, and if anyone doesn't know, Costco has good toilet paper. So if you ever want to take a shit, stop off at Costco if you got a membership. That's what it's they make sure they put the good toilet paper there in there. So
that's
I was
where you
sitting.
Get a hand.
Oh yeah, totally, man. So I always pick the wheelchair stall because I like to spread out, man. I like to have the king stall, right? Yeah. So there's three stalls. One is out of order, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going in the king stall, man. I'm handicapped or not, right? So anyway, so I'm in there, and a guy comes in, and I can hear him like,
another one of those the more you know things. You don't have to have a handicap placard on your rear
that's
mirror.
That's right.
Just shit in the fucking handicap shirt,
dude. So check this out. So this guy comes in, I can hear him, he's like, and it's so annoying when someone, like, kicks on your stall, and you're like, fuck off, I'm in here, there, get your own fucking stall, you were late, I'm smart, you are not. So I'm like, I do the cough, right? And he's just like, bang, 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 and I'm like, and I'm like, in the middle of, like, a shit, I'm like, take out a stall, right? Get the fuck over there. So the dude, he right next to me, he goes into the next stall, I hear his belt buckle unbuckle, and he starts shitting before he's, like, in position. So I hear the sound of a belt buckle, and then I hear, like, pfft, like a huge wet shit, and then I hear and see shit. Like, it must have hit the toilet, and then it bounces off the stall wall and drips down in between the stall, and I immediately, like, just pull my foot as far as away from his core as I get, and then I hear the guys like, oh, fuck, and I just, like,
oh my God.
I'm in shock. I'm in shock because I'm like, what the hell just happened in there? Now, you can tell, like, when you look at this, like, you tell, like, if a guy's sitting or not, he's still not sitting. So he's, like, hovering right now, I guess, because he'd shit all over something, and he just unleashes another shit, and he hits the front of the bowl instead of the bowl, and it goes into his pants. And I'm sitting there, and I start laughing because this is hilarious. I'm just like, oh, my God, dude, you just have to stop. And he reaches under the thing. He's like, hey, man, can you help a brother out and pass me some toilet paper as I pull the last roll off for myself? And I'm like, sorry, dude, there's nothing here to spare. And he's like, dude, please, can you go get me some? So the good Samaritan that I am, I'm like, all right, I'll see what I could do. I finish up, I clean up. And I'm like, so I go outside, and I'm like, well, where the fuck am I going to go to find more toilet paper, right? So I flagged down a Costco guy. I'm like, hey, man, there's no toilet paper in the thing. And there's a guy who's having a really bad day in there. Could you help out, maybe throw him some? He's like, I can't do it right now. I'm really busy. I'm like, dude, this guy is, you're going to need to get like 5 or 6 rolls for this guy. He's hurt. And maybe you should bring him an extra pair of pants.
Yeah, so, you guys got pants here, right?
I'm like, do you have a mop, a hose, and a freaking hazmat team? Oh, but yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Yeah, and the only other time I saw it, well, this was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in a bathroom, is have you ever been to one of those fancy, like, clubs where they have the troughs instead of urinals?
Yeah, the fancy clubs.
Fancy clubs?
Stadiums.
No. It's like, okay, there were these fancy clubs. They would have these, like, bathrooms, and they were very dark, like, lit with neon, and they had just a trough, right? Because there's, like, so many guys in them. kind of, but I mean, I was at this fancy nightclub. This is, like, a long time ago. Anyways, so I'm taking a piss, and there's no dividers. Like, just guys whipping it out right next to you.
That is the definition of a trough.
Yeah? Yeah, right? So this one guy is standing next to me, and he's taking a piss, and he's one of those turn pissers. So as he talks to you, he turns his waist.
Oh, no.
And, like, I'm always on that. I'm like, yo, but whoa. Like, yeah. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, and I just,
the
like,
turn
you
pee.
Know, I'm like, yep.
Swing, bada, swing, bada.
I'm like, no. Anyways, I'm washing my hands. Another guy comes in, and they start talking to each other. And the guy that he's pissing next to, they're both drunk. And I'm literally watching a guy slowly click a degree. Like, every, like, word he says, like, yeah, you know, and he click, 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 click. And I'm like, no way! He's gonna see this!
This is gonna happen! This is totally gonna happen!
Dude, for like, I think 30 seconds, he just pissed into that guy's leg. Like, just pissing down his leg, like, and I was like, wow. And the guy's wearing, of course, pants, like these gray pants, so that as soon as they get wet, they go black. It's just this big piss stain down his leg, oh. Yeah, so those are, Mishka Brown, I hope you enjoyed those, horrible shit stories.
Horrible shit and pee stories.
I do. Yeah. I have one more quick one to interject that, again, is not a personal me experience.
Sure. Even better.
I was reminded of this recently, and it's poo story. I guess it's directly related. It's poo story directly related. Oh. So right out of high school, one of the first jobs I ever had, I was working at a Spencer's Gifts. Does anyone know what one of those shitty places is?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, for those that don't, it's just like a shit store. Like, you just go there and you buy fucking Bob Marley posters and black lights and fucking shitty adult toys and like joke cards for it's like
this straight up old store.
Yeah, like, you know, like you're fucking old on the front side of a car and you open it up and inside it's like, go get a boner or something. It's dumb shit.
Alright. Sounds like the heavy metal store.
Go get a boner. Yeah, that's the name of the episode. Go get a boner.
No one over the age of, like, 22 buys anything from these places. So when you're working there during the day, it's fucking dead.
Okay.
And, again, since you're around all of this, like, this is the shit you're around, like, all you're just... I mean, and again, you're of that age, so it makes way more sense. But I was a naive young 17-year-old boy, and I'm sitting there working with my coworker, and I don't want to give away her identity because the end of the story may or may not, whatever. So I'm working with this nice young,
we're past this situation. Nice go.
I'm sorry, what?
Aren't we past like some, you know, law where it's happened so long ago we can't be sued?
Once you get to the end, if you still want to know, we'll go from there.
All right, go.
So again, looking back, this isn't like super groundbreaking and shocking information, but at the time it really kind of hit me, and it was really kind of like taken aback as if this is the real world. And I'm working with my coworker and she's explaining like what really gets her off. Like the thing that is like the most exciting thing to her. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, this is where we work. This is the kind of shit we're talking about. And she tells me, like, you know, again, strangely, honestly, strangely, like, one-on-one about the situation. She's like, yeah, you know, after I drop a giant deuce, I just sit on the toilet and finish the job on the other side.
Oh, my God, that's terrible. I've tried to convince myself since I was, like, 10 that girls don't poop, and I'm still, like, really holding on to this. Like, my wife will not even admit to pooping because she knows it makes me mad.
I mean, come on, you guys are old enough to have an open door policy.
No, absolutely.
No.
It's one of those things, like, if you want to get a divorce, then you can openly poop in front of me. But other than that, like, you know, that's the one last thing.
You can piss all you want.
Now,
girls
don't poop.
I'm not here to judge anyone's lifestyles or their interests or what does it for them, but I can distinctly remember in that moment at the time feeling like, man, if I just took a giant shit and I'm literally still sitting on the toilet, I can't think of a whole lot of things that are going to get me excited, let alone keep me in that moment long enough to rub one out.
The only thing that's going to get you excited at that point is to flush and get the fuck away from it. like, that's your best bet at that point. Be like, oh, I'm going to flush and get the fuck away from it, and then think about what excites me.
I can't remember asking any follow-up questions. I'm sure that I just kind of stood there like...
jaw dropped, like, wow.
I'm gonna assimilate that information. I'll try to get back to you. And again, I just thought of sitting, you know, like, when there's a sense of satisfaction. Like, man, that really that really pushed that hole open quite a bit. I'm really glad that's over.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's the TSG soundboard, the very beginning of the TSG soundboard.
But just you know, knowing somebody that immediately just drops the right hand to center stage directly after that.
You know
what would have been the worst is like she's like, oh man, I love it when I have it halfway out and then I shove it back in, then I squeeze it back out.
What the fuck is this devolving into?
So the funny thing
we really are turning this into a German porn podcast. Like, yeah, the Scheiße.
Wondering at like.
That bear is not human.
The bear is not human.
That shit is not human.
That makes us want to throw up until the point that we all just quit podcasting simultaneously. We're just all, you know what, guys? Tonight, that was it.
So the funny thing to me, beyond
I don't even
that
know
part,
where
so.
We're going with this cast. Who says I've got one more story and then tells me a story about a girl who likes to get off while she's shitting a giant log? Like, what the fuck?
Not hey, just likes it. That's the best.
Hey,
that's the best.
What have we turned into? Lord, help us.
Wizards of the Coast, I want to make sure that we still still keep our options open here.
Fate Reforged, we want a spoiler.
Hey,
if you thought the story ended there.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, good, there's more.
Oh, please continue.
I gotta be honest, Maddie really is what does it for me, because a lot of these things are only a little funny, and then all I can do is hear him wheezing.
Because this is like this. Okay, this, this, This story's so fucked up. This is fucking up, man. This is Money Drop Millionaire level of disgusting. Please keep going.
So, for that, I mean, in reality, to me, that was a lifetime ago. I mean, on great terms. She's a great girl.
What, you still talk to her? How the fuck can you talk to someone? How can you face them? Okay, go.
Again, it was a part-time job with a dead-end minimum wage pay. It's not like we really had upward mobility to work at Spencer's Gifts.
I guess she's just not in a management position or anything now.
No.
Okay, go on.
I wouldn't necessarily call diddling yourself while sitting on the toilet seat a management position.
You say you guys didn't have upward mobility because you're working at Spencer's Gifts, but apparently she's designing the shit that they sell at Spencer's Gifts now.
She's got her own vibrator. Yeah, wasn't she in that Two Girls, One Cup video?
Yeah, she's the girl that's designing the fucking, she's all, I shit while I masturbate t-shirts that they suck.
I don't know how much of it is during, but I definitely know it's directly after.
I shit and, well, like, okay, go on now. Look, this is like... Do not stand up. Okay, can I please hear the end of the story? Where does this go? Because now I don't even know how could this get worse? I just don't know. But please,
worse? It's not about getting worse. It was never worse to begin with.
It was never worse to begin with?
Wait. I'm going to stop you. Listen, if you and me were working in a store and I turn to you.
Patty is crying. I'm appalled by this whole ordeal.
I thought
that fucking TSG was going to be the one that just pulled us all the way.
Look, we're at a mall. I just came back from Chipotle. I just had some, like, really big bowl of, like, shit. And you turn to me and you're like, you know what gets me off? When I just shit a giant log and then I just diddle myself to freedom.
Edit.
I'm literally going to turn to you and I'm going to say, I quit. This job is out.
Daddy, stop. Did you just say diddle myself to freedom? God damn it. From this story, that is going to be my new favorite term in the entire world. I diddle myself to freedom.
Dinner my there. That's the episode. Okay. So, anyways, what happened? We all want to know now.
So she has great aspirations. She wants to be a model. She's in California.
She wants. Of course.
I was not expecting that sentence to be cut so loud, but I'm really thinking this.
Because she, okay, who says that? This is, I want to be a mom.
I mean, it wasn't in the same breath. It's not like I drop a big dookie, finish myself off, and the next thing I'm going to do is buy a plane ticket to New York.
What kind of model is she modeling for? Like, anybody with half a brain is like, you're a model?
Like, you gotta look at this from a different fucking angle, Maddie. Like, the fact is, now you don't know. Like, you really don't know. When you see a hot girl in a magazine, you don't know if she diddles herself and shits at the same
time. Kevy, it's ruining things. Girls don't shit. Girls do not shit and diddle themselves. So this is
shit, period.
Okay, go on. Okay. She's a model.
So she has these aspirations. That's great. You know, we all have dreams when we're 17. I don't think twice about that, obviously. Life goes on.
Sure. I would think more than twice, but go.
You know, like, I think I probably saw her, like, in town locally once in the next, like, decade. But far as I had known, she had gone on. Who knows what she'd been up to?
Oh, I have a good
she's
idea.
In the Two Girls, One Cup video.
She's on the internet. DSG. Okay, go on.
Flash forward to probably 2012.
Christmas party. She's in the bathroom. Okay, go on.
And I find out that she has not only made it to New York, not only been working extremely hard on her modeling career, but she's about to star in a TLC reality show.
See, I fucking told you, Maddie. Watch out for the fucking magazines you look at, man.
About models living together and, you know, their lives and whatnot. And the, in the funny, I mean, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The suck on happy boy.
Wow. Okay. So I have which show? I need to watch this show because I need to see that scene at night.
Yeah, we need
where
to
the camera. Like, yeah, the camera's in the hallway, and this one girl's in the bathroom, and she's like crying. You know, she's like, "Oh my god, my boyfriend broke up," and blah, blah, blah. And like, let's say her name is like Rosie, and she goes in, and she's like, "Oh, don't worry about it." And she's like comforting the other girl. They're crying, and they close the door. But just there's a crack in the door where it's just open a little bit. The camera zooms in, and you could just see things. And then she's like, "You don't mind if I, like, you know, use the bathroom while you're crying?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah, go ahead. We're all girls here." And she just drops in the pot and she starts running out.
I want to show, and I want to get a heavy meta SVU like fucking pool going on like which like which one of these ones is like fucking DJ Diddle Poops.
And then, DJ like, Diddle Poop.
We're gonna figure out which one it was, and then at like the end of the fucking pool that we have going on, we're like, somebody's gonna win a lot of fucking money because this seems like something we should be betting on.
So, like I said at the beginning of this story, in order to protect certain people, I don't really want. It's not. If I go away,
so we can't turn this into a contest.
I mean, at the time, this information was shared in confidence. And I'm sure something that was told to me, I don't know, 13 years ago while working a dead-end job would never be something that would reach thousands of people and internet searches somewhere down the line.
Yeah, it's because at the time you didn't plan on being on Heavy Meta. DJ Diddlepoops! Hashtag DJ Diddlepoops!
No, she's a model, not a DJ. So yeah. She's like Runway. You got to call her Runway Diddlepoops.
No, I feel like DJ Diddlepoops is just better.
That's probably catchier,
no,
I agree.
At all.
I mean, look, when I was a kid, and my friend told me, you know, he's like, "Hey, man, have you ever tried sticking your dick in a moon pie?" And I'm like, "No." And I, you know, that was a weird conversation, but, like, I cannot imagine.
This was a weird conversation.
Like, I could get my brain around, like, yeah, moon pie, yeah, I could totally see that. But, like, dude, like, a chick is talking to you, and she's a model, like a model, is talking to me, and she says, "Hey,
to send the wrong message, people are gonna start thinking, like, these neckbeards are gonna start thinking it's okay to fucking jack off at poop because models like it." And, like, we don't want to send that message out. We don't want to send that message out.
Look, all I'm saying is this. You do not start a conversation, like, you don't go into, you just don't drop, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't drop, like, you just don't say, "Hey."
You don't start a conversation, you don't middle a conversation,
yeah,
and you
exactly.
don't conversation.
You don't end a, yeah, you don't end a conversation with, but you don't, like, you know, "Hey," you're like, "How's your shift? You know, work sucked. Oh, that guy that just came in, you know, yeah, he's buying this thing." You don't just immediately say, "Hey, man, you know what, when I'm taking a big shit, I really like to jack off." Like, where does that come from? Unless TSG didn't read into this. You know, because I don't know. Well, I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's reading the signals here, but I think she was sending. I think she was sending you something.
Situation fairly well.
No. She was sending you a signal, dude.
She was just bad at articulating what she was thinking. She was thinking, like, "We should go bang in the bathroom." But all that could come out of her mouth was like, "I poop when I diddle," and, like, so it just came out completely wrong.
She doesn't poop when she diddles. She diddles when she poops.
Into the bathroom and get you horny, but that's all that came out of her mouth. And now, decades later, she is the butt of our joke.
I am already looking forward to what this episode is going to be titled on Friday.
Look, I'm just saying, tell me this honestly. Wait, tell me something. So every time that you, like, went to, like, lunch with her and she ordered, like, a double steak, did you, like, think about it? Like, what the hell is, like, she going to do, you know? Like, she's like, "Hey, man, can you watch the store for 15 minutes?
We were working a shitty retail place, so only one of us went to lunch at a time, and we'd usually rotate. Again, when it was imparted to me, it was one of those things that kind of, like, stopped me dead in my tracks. Like, there's no way I can say anything after this, and it's going to be anywhere close.
That's when you know that you're a normal human being.
That should be one of those psychiatrist tests.
PSD's not a robot. That's fucking sweet.
But I will say that when I found out she was... When I found out that she was going to be on this reality show, I was with the girl that is my wife now, and at the time I was like, whoa! And she's like, well, you know that girl? And I was like,
check this out!
You know her.
But then your wife is like, well, hold on, how do you know this? Like, that's fishy. She just told you that?
No, come you just on. Say you're like, oh, sweetheart, I don't know her in the biblical sense, but I know her in the internet sense. Like the dirty internet sense. like
back before you paid for that kind of thing.
Yeah, oh. Exactly.
Wow. Max.
I think.
I don't even know. I can't even finish the Twitter hole.
Or Tristan, like the title of this podcast, I think should be the one where David actually had to leave.
I'm here.
No, that's too.
I don't know how to respond to any of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like where we got.
I couldn't combat Maddie's wheezing. Like.
I know, right? Takes me out of the moment a lot of times.
It takes me out of the moment. Oh my god. Oh.
It makes me fucking laugh even harder.
I had to put myself on mute because I was laughing and nothing I could interject into that conversation that was going to change anything.
You couldn't interject.
Very it was not going to change the fact that there's a model running around here.
Yeah, that they're somewhere on this earth is, and what I can only assume is this is America's Next Top Model, is there is an America's Next Top Model contestant that likes to, play with herself immediately after taking a dump.
Or actually, okay, so if we're going in chronological order, it's not DJ Diddle.
Chronological? What was that? That one again.
Not DJ Diddle Poops, it's DJ Poopin' Diddles.
Yeah,
it's an important distinction to make here.
Yeah, DJ Poopin' Diddles.
Her twin sister, she's Diddle Poop.
You have to remember what brings on.
Twin sister was the throw with the cup.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know if I continue to just go in the Twitter hole. Like,
I'll take over for Maddie on the Twitter hole while he.
I gotta pass it.
Matt Hansen, or at Manadork, asked, "What is the worst job you ever had?" I think we know what TSG's was. I think we just analyzed that.
As long as you don't work in food service, just fine.
All right, so what was Maddie? What was the worst job you ever had?
Oh, the worst job. The worst job I ever had is for anyone that doesn't know. There was these like horrible shit discount stores called Bargain Heralds. I don't have to throw back for anyone that knows those up here. Anyways. I was like 15 years old. I walked in because we were at the mall. My mother was like, "Hey man, you know, if you want some extra money, you should get a job." I'm like, "Sure, there's a help wanted sign." So I walk in and I'm like, "Hey man, you want a job? Or, you know, what's the job you're offering?" Like, "Oh, don't worry about it." I'm like, "Okay, sweet." He's like, "Do you want the job?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay. Do I have to sign anything?" He's like, "Nope." I'm like,
nope.
I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Well, we pay at the end of every month." I'm like, okay. Yeah, this is, I'm 15 years old. Anyways, I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, when do I start? He's like, now. And I'm like, right now. And I'm like, to my mom, I'm like, I guess I got a job, mom. She's like, oh, that's really great. Look, you're go-getter. Go get him, honey. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, I'll see you tonight. So he takes me downstairs, throws me a red vest on, and he's like, okay, you see that elevator? It's broken. There's a set of stairs at the back, and this is like in the basement level.
He's like, raped.
No.
He's like, on a red vest.
He's like, sit on this toilet. No, there's a set of stairs, and he's like, you have to go up those stairs, and there's a truck. There's already two guys. They're unloading these tables, and I'm like, okay. So I, you know, I run up the stairs, and it's like
unloading.
They're horrible. Yeah, they're this little narrow, like shitty stairway. Like it must have been 3 feet across, right? It's like an emergency escape stairwell. So I get up there, and there's these two other kids. They're 15 years old. They're unloading this, like, half-semi-truck. And there's one guy on the lift, and he's like, hey, man, grab this table. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay. And I'm like, holy shit, this thing weighs, like, 400 pounds. He's like, I know. The three of us could barely lift it. So we drop it, like, onto the sidewalk. And I'm like,
I'm sweating already. I'm like, what the hell is this? He's like, oh, these are like the new merchandising tables. We got to bring them down the stairs. And I'm like, bring these 400-pound tables downstairs with you guys. Okay. And I'm like, so who's going on the bottom? Because there's no way in hell I'm going on the bottom.
I wish you could just take this.
I knew you were getting raped.
No. So this is the best. So the one kid, he's like, okay, I'll do it. I've been here the longest. I'm like, okay. So he goes down, and we have the table at the top of the stairs, okay? And I'm like with this little skinny Ethiopian kid, and he's like, okay, man, you got to hold most of the weight because I'm not strong. I can't hold most of it. I'm like, I'm 15 fucking years old. Like, I can't hold most of this weight. Anyways, the kid he's like, okay, gently, one stair at a time, we're going to lift this table downstairs. It's wrapped in plastic, okay? And I'm not a rocket scientist at this age, but I'm like, I think you should move and we should just slide them down. He's like, oh no, the boss said do not slide these tables. First stair comes, it's gone. And I'm like, run! And so the Ethiopian kid just runs away. He runs away. The table goes crashing down the stairs through the drywall, lodges itself halfway in the drywall. The kid barely survives, not dying. The manager comes running out. He's like, what the fuck, right? He's like screaming at everyone. He's like, what the hell? I just hired you to do this job, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, look, man, this is crazy. You can't ask kids to do this. So I give him the vest back, and I go, I quit, right?
So, I love that you had to wear a fucking vest
yeah,
to do
for
this.
No reason. So anyways, my mother is driving by on her way out of the mall, and I'm like, hey, Ma, and I flag her dad. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I quit. That job sucks. Well, that was the worst job I ever had. It was horrendous, man.
Shitty.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Like, I mean, I've had good jobs and shitty jobs. Like, I think the worst job I ever had, like, it's, I don't know, I've had a bunch of shitty jobs, but I guess, like, I worked at mine kind of like Maddie's, just kind of translates into a fucking story. It's an awkward story for me. So I was working, when I lived in Alaska, when I was in Ridgecrest, I fucking dropped out of high school because I was just like, oh, whatever, I'm an asshole, and dropped out of high school. And then when I, like, immediately moved to Alaska after that, I was like, oh, man, I need to fucking get back in school because I feel like a shitbag. And I'd like to, you know, I just spent this, like, all this time going to school and have nothing to show for it. So I'm going to go back to school so I could finish high school. And in doing that, I'm still living on my own. I'm 18 years old and I'm living on my own. So I enroll in the Juno Douglas High School, which is like, you know, the high school in fucking Juno. enroll there and, excuse me, get a job at the Broiler, which is like a fish seafood fucking restaurant. And like, when I moved up there, I had no fucking plan. I had nothing going on. I was just like, I'm getting the fuck out of Ridgecrest. And so I get there, and now I need a job. And I'm like, all right, sweet. I'm going to fucking, I get hooked up by like the guy I moved up there with, like his uncle knew the guy that owned the place kind of thing. So he's like, all right, I can get you a job over here. So I, like, the worst fucking job that I've ever fucking had, just washing dishes and fucking like just getting shit on left and right. Like, not like TSG's thing, but like just like figuratively getting shit on. And like, it was just not a bunch of fun. And while I'm working there, though, you know, I'm meeting new people, and like, yeah, I just moved to this fucking town, and there's a girl there. She's a very sweet girl.
There always is.
Yeah, she's a very sweet girl. Like, she wasn't like terrible looking, but she, I don't know, there was something about her. I just, she seemed kind of, I don't know. She's a sweetheart. She's not a bad looking girl, but yeah, just not something I really want to get involved in. Like, she just seemed weird. So I like continue to do my terrible fucking job every day, and then she decides to ask me to prom. And nice. I was like, all right, well, I appreciate that. But, like, I tried to, like, be as nice as I possibly could. Just like, hey, you know, I wasn't going to go to prom with this girl, but, like, I didn't want to be a dick. I don't want to be all, fuck off, I ain't going. So I was trying to, like, you know, do that thing where you, like, try to come up with excuses, and it was not working because this bitch was fucking crazy. I, you know, like, my first response was just like, oh, I would totally love to, but I have to work that weekend. And she's like, no, it's fine. I already talked to her. But, you know, you're good. Like, I talked to him. I told him I was going to ask you to prom, and he said you could have the weekend off, or, you know, you could have the night off if you needed to.
Bitch,
I was like,
one
oh,
step ahead of you.
Okay, I see how we're going. I see how we're doing this.
You're not lying your way out of this one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all I was trying to do is just, like, lie my way out of it so I didn't have to be like, oh, I don't want to go to prom with you because you're kind of weird. I don't want to hurt her feelings or anything. So
yeah,
just,
you
like,
don't want to be an ass.
You know, so I was like, oh, man.
I was not being an ass. Like, I see, this is break in your story real quick.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I am that guy that will say, no, I don't want to go to prom with you. I'm not interested in you. How is that being an asshole?
It's not being an asshole. It's not being an asshole at all. When you break it down, it's not. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm like also the person that, like, you know, like you've seen before, like with my friends and stuff. I don't like confrontation between my friends. I don't like being involved with confrontation unless I'm directly starting the confrontation.
Unless you're the one punching people.
Yeah. So, like, but I'm weird about that. Like, I don't like actually being around. Like, if I've got friends, like, I will go out of my way to try to make things more comfortable for my friends.
But to me, that's not a confrontation. Like, she asked you something and you declined.
Yeah,
and if she wants to
turn
it into a confrontation, that just means a good fucking decision.
No, and
right?
It,
like, if they're that fucking crazy that they can't hear, no, thank you, I'm flattered, but I'm not interested in you.
And I think that's it. It's not so much, like, I go, like, a step further with this. It's like, I don't want them to have that, like, ultimately uncomfortable feeling where it's like, oh, I asked this dude to fucking prom because I like him, and I don't want to hurt her feelings, and so I'm trying to come up with an excuse. It's probably not the best way to go about it, but I'm trying to come up with an excuse rather than be like, oh, I'm not interested in you, so that she has to go home and feel like, oh yeah, I gave it my all and I got shot down. And
I get that mentality. I'm not questioning that's a nice thing to do. All I'm saying is I'm that guy that always goes, that guy's a fucking asshole because he just basically told the truth. Like, what's it gonna go?
So you don't want
to die or whatever else. I'm just like, nope, I'm not attracted to you, or I'm not interested in you, or I've got other plans, or whatever else. And suddenly
I get it. Look, I get it. Kevin doesn't want her to go home. Like, be on the toilet, taking a shit, diddling yourself, and thinking, fuck, right?
From what it sounds like, that chick was a model, so Kevy definitely would have gone to prom with her.
It's like, as long as you don't tell me that you poop, we're good.
Hey. So anyway, finish your story.
Yes.
I was gonna say, so is the job here that you had to go with her?
Yeah, that's the job.
This is where shit gets fun. So she asks me if I would go to prom. I try to get out of it, and she basically corners me into going to fucking prom. And I, oh, god damn it, okay. Because I tried the whole, I was like, hey, I also, like, I don't have anything to wear. I can't really afford it. She's like, don't worry. Me and my friends, we're just kind of going in whatever. It's not a big deal. I'm like, fuck, I'm out of excuses. I'll fucking go. So I decided, okay, fine, fuck it, I'll go. I'm just going to be nice, and I'm going to go to prom with this girl, and yeah, fuck it, why not? So we go to prom, and, like, I don't know this girl very, like, I know her at work. I don't know her really at all other than just, you know, at work. So, you know, she comes and picks me up at my place because, like, I live in Alaska, and I live in a fucking shit trailer with a friend of mine. Like, I don't have a vehicle or anything like that. Like, I'm super poor, and fucking she comes and picks me up. And we head to the fucking prom, and she's in this nice, big, frilly prom dress, and I'm in, like, this weird fucking velvet suit that I borrowed from my roommate. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to rock, and we're going to roll. So we go to prom, right? Now, granted, there's this girl in our group of friends. Her name is Star. That's not her real name.
This was a question name, about your worst job, right?
Fucking... This started off with my job.
Okay.
Where does it end, though? We know where it starts.
We're getting there.
Long story short, he fucked the girl's mom.
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, that would have been a great ending. Okay, go.
So, okay, I will try to end this quicker. So, you know, here we are going to prom with this girl that I don't really know. It's kind of a little bit crazy. And there's this other girl that I'm completely fucking in love with. And we get to prom and she walks me in and she is, you know, not, how do I put this lightly? She's not a very well accepted girl at her high school. Like,
okay.
She's got a couple friends. She's like, oh, let's go over here and hang out with my friends. And so we go and we sit at the little corner table with a couple of her friends that are just kind of doing their own thing anyway. So I'm sitting there bored out of my fucking skull. I'm like, God damn it, this is a terrible fucking idea. I'm in a velvet suit. She is dressed up like to the nines and fucking like, this is just fucking terrible. And Star, the girl that I'm like fucking in love with at the time, shows up with some other friends of mine. And like, my other friends are doing exactly what you would think I would be doing. They're like, we're going to fucking stop in. We're going to say hi. We're going to drink a lot in the parking lot, and then we're gonna leave early and we're gonna go get drunk some more at this fucking party. I'm like, fucking sweet, this sounds like a great idea. Oh wait, I'm fucking anchored, god damn it. So we're sitting with our fucking lame friends and I'm just like, okay, look, you know, can I you mind, I'm gonna go say hi to Mikey, I just saw Mikey showed up, I'm gonna go over and say hi to him because Mikey's over there hanging out with Star and my other friends. And I go over and I'm talking to them for a little while, and then Star says to me, and of course, like, this little boy fucking cutesy moment, like, I'm trying to get this girl to notice me, and fucking she says to me, she's just like, oh, I left my shoes over here, we're getting ready to leave, but you want to walk over here with me? So I'm like a fucking, like a puppy dog, of course I'll fucking walk with you, yeah. And so I fucking walk over with Star to go get these, her fucking shoes from wherever she fucking left them, and fucking midway through, old crazy bitch comes showing up. And she throws a fit. She's like, I thought you were going to talk to your friends. And she throws a fucking temper tantrum about the whole ordeal. And I was all, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, I was just kind of putting into my head that you were crazy. Now you are showing the world that you're crazy. And so she throws a fucking legitimate fit to the point where I'm like, okay, this is getting weird. I'm like, okay, I will see you guys later. I will come to the party later. I'm going to go to, I'm going to go back over here to the fucking random table in the corner with my date. So I go back to the corner with my date, and then we, you know, finally, I'm trying to leave. She's like, oh, I want to dance to a song. I want to dance to a song. So we go dance to a fucking song. I finally convince her it's time to leave. So I'm having her drop me off at home so I can go to the fucking party. And she asks me on the way there, she's like, is it cool if I come to the party? Now, okay, if you've, any of you have ever been to a high school party, it's a high school party, but
that's the best explanation of, you know, you're a good master storyteller when you set the scene. You ever been to a high school party? It's a high school party.
Well, I was getting to the fact that, like, she actually asked me, like, on the way there, she's like, hey, is it cool if I come to the party where you're going? And I was like, well, it's not my party. I got invited by some other people, and I would feel really uncomfortable if I invited you, not knowing the host of the party.
So now, you just better shit.
Yeah. At that point, I was going David on her, but I was still trying to keep it nice. I was just like, oh, I would feel really awkward if I invited you to this high school rager, because I don't know the people that are throwing it. So she's like, okay, that's fine. You know, she's like, do you mind if, like, as she's dropping off, she's like, do you mind if I come in and change out? Because we're just going to, you know, me and my friends, we're just going to go to the rec center and hang out. And I'm like, thank God I'm not going with you. And so I was like, sure, you can come in my house and you can change out of your clothes. That's fine. So she comes into my house and she goes into, I gave her my room, which in hindsight, like, maybe I was sending a signal, but I was just like, here, I'm going to be polite. You can use my room to change, and I will go into the bathroom and change because I am waiting for Mikey to come pick me up.
You were going to wear the velvet suit to the party?
No, I was trying to get out of the velvet suit. So I was trying to get out of the velvet suit, trying to get rid of the velvet fucking clingy psychopath fucking coworker. And so I'm just like, okay, you can change. And then my buddy Mikey's on his way here. And, you know, I'm going to take off. You're going to take off. I'll see you at work, you know, fucking right on. We're fucking done with this ordeal. So I go in and I change I come back out, and I'm sitting in my living room, and I'm doing everything I can to keep myself busy, and this broad is still in my room, and I finally am just like, oh, god damn it. So I knock on the door, I'm like, hey, you okay? Like, what's going on in there? Like, I'm picturing the worst, I'm just all, this. She's going through my stuff. She's already
she's
got
taking a shit. What she's diddling?
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's doodling and shit. And like, no, like, I'm figuring.
She's
I was
naked
like,
in your bed, right?
She's naked in your bed. And yes, thank you, David. I like finally. She's like, no, it's fine. You can come in. And I will get. She wasn't naked. She was in her underwear, laying on my bed. And I ended the conversation like this. I shit you not, the most perfect timing that ever could have been ever in my life. I see headlights coming up into my window. And I said, oh, Mikey's here. Can you please lock the door on your way out? And I ran like hell. And I got in Mikey's truck. And I I told Mikey this same fucking story that we're having right now, like on the way to the fucking party. I'm sure I was probably quicker with it at that point. But I ran as fast as I could and left the crazy lady in my house. And just ask her to lock the door on the way out. Now, needless to say, work was a lot worse from then on out. Because not only was it a terrible fucking job in the first place, I'm washing dishes at a fucking seafood restaurant, but now I've got a crazy lady that hates me. And there's nothing specific that happened. Like, I mean, I've already taken up enough to tell the story. Nothing specific that happened after that to add to the story, but let's just say like she made that the worst job I've had in my entire life. But I stand by the fact that although she was kind of hot, I am happy that I didn't have sex with her, because knowing my luck, I'd have got her pregnant and I'd still be living in Alaska, and fuck, who knows what happened to me by now. I'd have been
heaven meta wouldn't exist.
So yeah, there you go. Rapid fire Twitter hole questions.
Yeah, he's not good at that. Okay, so Mike Marcella, good old Ginger Italian, asks, because we gotta inflate his ego anymore, if Kevin Metal is Jesus, who does that make you other three in the Heavy Metal gospel?
Mark, Paul, John, I don't fucking know which one does what. So
oh my god, well I guess I'm Matthew. Why not? Hey, oh, there's a let's be hey, original here.
Yeah, we got Matthew, we've got the Apostle Tristan that like the fucking the Catholic Church is just keeping a death grip on the Apostle of Tristan. Or the Apostle Tristan, the fucking whatever the fuck the Book of Tristan. They're keeping a death grip on it. They're not letting that one out. And I'm gonna say David is Mary Magdalene because people try to put their dicks on him.
Oh god.
Oh all right, my goodness.
Some actual magical ones here. All right. Les Kershaw at Hoysels. What is your favorite card in your cube?
Rookie! It's that, who's Les. We all did this in the beginning.
Yeah. Who is Les? Oh, Les Kershaw. That makes sense. Actually, sorry, Les. I said your name right. Fuck the Twitter tags. It's just like the hashtags. It's all one word to me. Who is Les? At who is Les? Right. What is your favorite card in your cube? Not just power rating either. Mm. So I think we have to start with TSG on this one.
That's a good one. That's a good
question.
I don't
want to be a broken record on all the cards I mention all the time.
No. Absolute Chaos Orb. Favorite card. Absolute
favorite card in your cube.
Gotta be Chaos Orb. It's Chaos Orb.
Alright.
Why?
Because right. Well,
it's the most fun, motherfucker.
Yay! There you go.
You weren't in the adult house in Portland. It was pretty sweet, man.
I wasn't allowed in the adult house. We've been through this. You guys locked us out with the fucking keypad lock.
I wish I had apocalyptic foam,
right,
man.
All right, Kevin. Okay. What is your favorite cube card? And I'm gonna assume lightning bolt.
No. Like my favorite card in my cube. I'm not gonna go the lightning bolt route because it's
treasure
fucking
cruise.
Awesome. But yeah, treasure fucking cruise. Yeah, just I don't know.
No. In all seriousness, what's your favorite card in your cube?
I don't know. That's actually a really hard one. I gotta say, fucking. Sort of body in mind because
I wouldn't have
fuck
that.
Everybody else, just mill you out. Good night.
Nice.
It's not
Maddie
for full
Book? Right now, it's Oath of Druids.
Oath of Druids, all right. Got a hard-on for that card right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What is God, your card in your cube, David?
I narrowed it down to 10, and I'm having a hard time.
10.
Yeah, 10.
You must right, pick so one.
The 10 that I have is Baleful Strix, Demonic Tutor, Blightning, Tinker, Recurring Nightmare, Vengevine, Phyrexian Metamorph, Jace the Mind Sculptor, Elish Norn, and Gifts Ungiven.
Yeah, so the good ones?
There's a lot of really good ones that aren't in there. Like, you can't fault me for saying that the power level was all that was there when you got Blightning and shit.
No, all I'm saying is, like, I had to narrow it down to one. Along with everybody else here in the room.
I know, you had to be, you're all special, man. You had to fuck a big 10. All
right, if I had to narrow it down to one, I would have to say Vengevine. It's just my favorite card of all time, so that's my
favorite. Because although there might be other fun fucking cards to play in cube, you gotta just narrow it down to one.
Yeah, and so while we're on Les, his Twitter hole questions, he asked if you could acquire one card from Kevy Metal's cube, what would it be?
Oh, I know. I already know this.
Specifically to me, but if anybody else is familiar with his cube, then you guys. Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll go first. I want the red Snapcaster Mage.
That's not in his cube.
It's not in the. You took it out?
No, it's not in the cube. It's just in my binder. But yeah,
that was the one that was like, oh, I want to make it.
So if I wanted one that was in his cube, I would want the foil foreign. Entreat the Angels.
Ooh, you don't want the foil wild Mikado back?
No, I'm good. I was all right with that. I have a playset of the promos and it's still another foil original of the wild Mikado. So
yeah, no, that's a good one. Although like the other two haven't seen my cube, so I don't think they. Like...
Yeah, no, that's why I think he was asking me specifically on that one, but I figured throw it out there.
All right, well, let me jump to Marcel's question because it kind of piggybacks off this one. So he says,
all right,
Planar Chaos time shift a card into each color, Ella, Wrath of God, into Damnation. So I would even then, I mean, the easy pick would be I would color shift Snapcaster Mage into red. Right? Because that's kind of like what I think. But, yeah, is there another card I would color shift that's...
I mean, to be fair and not, like, break things in half, you could make a black Oblivion Ring.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't going to be nice about it, you just make the black Disenchant.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, no.
I mean, what are the rules of the universe here when it comes to the color pie?
All right, well, fuck it. Then I want a green Jace the Mind Sculptor. I win.
There you go.
That's all.
I feel like...
And I want it modern playable. Green Machine wins.
Here's the rules. Hold on. Here's the rules of the universe. You got like you have to consider like TSG was saying like broken playability. Like of course we could all say like I want Tarmogoyf in this color now, but like is something that wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility if they were to do that again. Like what would you like to see?
I think if you did like if you want to go like down that mm-hmm. thing, like Dark Confidant in red seems like it would make a lot of sense.
It still deals
damage. It's a weird form of card advantage, which red any type of card
yeah,
advantage.
Yeah, actually I kinda
always.
Like that, yeah.
No, they already did that. They printed Treasure Cruise. They printed Dark Confidant in red, it's just blue.
No, but I like it. I think with the whole switching, they have to make some sort of sense. Like black has always had sweepers and things like that. So you wouldn't want to do like whatever I think it was TSG was saying, like a black disenchant and give a color something that it doesn't actually have any access to whatsoever. That's a really difficult one. Like there's a lot of cards that if you color shifted them.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of what the whole thing was about? It was giving cards that shouldn't have it, like that white got a counterspell is crazy, right? In mana,
right. Well, that's what I'm saying, completely not right.
Maybe that's what we do.
I don't think it's so much an issue of that color. That part of the color pie isn't supposed to have it because it's again, like you said, Maddie, is like that's kind of what the shifting was all about. But it's not like oh here, well we're gonna give fucking red a draw 3 spell. Like, you know, for one, like, you can't just break the fucking game with it. You got to do something that, like, say that Wizards would actually do. That would actually be a good idea, and I think it's a good thought exercise. Mm. And I'm just trying to buy time while I figure out what I want.
The other thing, like, I've always felt that green needs more card draw. But obviously you can't color shift.
Everybody but blue wants more card draw.
it's like David said with like Dark Confidant, green gets its card draw, but in like very specific bizarre ways, like refueling your creatures or something like that, right? Like, so I'm trying to think of any card that you could shift.
Well, like,
but
green has Harmonize. Like,
yeah, but that wasn't that an actual.
That card is literally time shifted.
Yeah, right?
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, green does have card draw. It's just like black has board wipes. It's just not generally that open about it. Like,
so it sounds,
you know, green
like,
always has like, you know, momentous about. Fall, life's legacy. You know, you either sacrifice a creature or, you know, what's that one from
Lead
Alara
Stampede,
block where
I think was in,
you know, where you something power and you draw cards equal to the highest power of creatures you control.
I think if you guys go too deep on this, it loses its meaning. You got to snap off being like, when I play white, I hate that I can't do X, but this other color can do it all the time. All
right, there you go. Every card is draw three. Go next question.
I want Lingering Souls in blue, and then flash it back for red.
Sure. Kevy, what really? While you're at it, why don't you just ask for a goddamn red treasure cruise?
Well, I mean, I guess I could, but I don't really need to because the mana is fucking awesome now, and I can play full color cards.
That just kind of invalidates the entire question. So why bother? I mean, you're the one complaining where it's like, I used to play black, white, red, and now I have to play blue, white, red because Treasure Cruise is so good.
Yeah, but I don't have to anymore. Now I have to play not green.
All I play is not green.
All I play now is not green. It's fucking sweet.
Wait till they print a green card he likes.
And right now, because we have all the fucking fetches
see,
and
it, auto if, fetches if I wanted to do something like that, I would give blue like hard removal.
Oh, blue. I don't know. Oh, yeah, okay. So like what, path
right?
To exile,
like then you
or
just invalidate a color out of some of these control decks. You're just like,
I mean,
oh,
at that
blue
point,
has a Doomblade, so I don't fucking need
universe.
That. Huh?
Yeah, blue.
At that point, blue is the ultimate power in the universe.
Well, you're the motherfucker that said, don't, you know, that's what you want to do is give a power to one. So why would I go to the most
wanted,
powerful
like,
color
right
and
off
give it the
top.
Only thing
that's
it
that's
doesn't
what your
have?
Is the internet fine. Break? You want fucking.
Oh, no! No! Alright, whew. We almost lost it.
Oh, is that what happened? I was like, man, I must have pissed you guys off with that shit.
No, I think Skype. Skype
is,
took a shit.
Is it just you and me now?
Yeah, it's just you and me, Hans. We have taken
I'm
over
here.
The show.
I'm back alone forever.
Oh, shit, they're back. That is not a bear. All right, so we are.
I love that. Like Heavy Beta is now just on a treasure cruise, like constantly, like with the internet. It's like sometimes the boat rocks, the storm happens, and like you know, or sometimes you draw three and you get a couple lands and one good fucking spell. But other than that, like it's just keeping us rolling the whole way. I like it.
Oh yeah,
like,
man.
You drop out, we come back. It's no big deal. Now as before, where it's just me and Maddie, it's like shit. One of us drops out, we're fucked. Now we just kind of keep it rolling.
That's great.
Happens.
The Germans
all right,
come in. All
right. So all right. I think we vacated that color pie shit.
Yeah, vacated our battle.
At reserve list, Bruce Lee.
Yes. Last question. This is a good one.
If you were a Bond villain, where would you build your base and what would you defend it with? I pick Kraken Pig, so you can't. So,
oh, fuck, that's really good.
That's
so if you're a Bond villain, and you know what? I'm going to add to this, and you know he can thank me later. You have to pick your Bond villain name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, wait. Is a diddly poops? Is that still on the table? Okay,
very menacing sounding.
Diddly poops would be my henchmen because I have to name them too.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
That's
the henchman.
My hot chick that like will seduce Bond is Diddly Poop.
Because she's a model. That makes sense.
Right. Right. Okay, he's gonna be like, ah, Diddly Poops. That's a nice name. Why do they call you Diddly Poops? She's like, well. Come to the bathroom. Okay, so my evil lair, I guess I would want to say a volcanic island, because that's the classic one, but geez, you already picked a Kraken Pig, but I'm gonna. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go Volcanic Island, and my Bond villain name is gonna be. Oh boy, that's a good one. I know Kevy's gonna take a while.
You also
one.
Have to pick mm-hmm. what you're going to defend your lair
defend
with.
It with.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, so...
Spray foam, that's all right.
Spray foam cannons are definitely going to be one of the things I would use for sure. I would also probably want some form of piranha fish, but I think they would have to be, like, more deadly than that, so, you know, put lasers on them or something like that. For sure, piranha laser-guided, like, shark missile things with, like, spray foam guns, for sure.
Got it. So actually, you're an Austin Powers villain.
I mean, maybe. I mean, actually, you know what? Scratch all that, because that's too, you know what, that's, you know what? I'm not going to go traditional shit. My lair is going to be Home Depot. I'm going to defend myself with zombies. Boom.
there you go.
My Bond villain name is going to be Dr. Spray foam.
The Depot Hans. King?
Dr. Spray foam. That was
horrible.
I was expecting him to go down the Hans and Franz, and he's going to have his lair in a freaking spray foam igloo, and he's going to defend it with Hitler bears.
Oh, that, damn, that sounds way better. I am putting in
that's
charge.
Mine. I just did it. Nah. Boom.
Shit, dancing Hitler bears?
dancing Hitler bears.
Watch out.
I'm going
he's
to be...
dodging. He's dodging the swastikas.
I'm going to be the Franz, and I'm going to be in a spray foam igloo somewhere out in the wilderness.
Wow. The Franz. That's
Z
awesome.
Franz.
All right.
The Franz. Kevy?
Oh, he's not ready yet. TSG, you got to go first. Kevy needs more time. He's got to
think. Well, I think if I've learned anything from James Bond movies with overly elaborate lairs, it's that things sink into the ocean, volcanic islands explode... I've really got to go more like Her Majesty's Secret Service style. I feel like a nice Swiss Alps outpost is really the best way to go. I mean, if they can really only get to you by chopper, then you're in pretty good shape. You only have to fear Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger really getting into your impenetrable fortress. And beyond that, I think I'm going to need probably some Savage Knuckle Blades to defend my fortress, because I'm going to need some sweet snow beasts to Ooh. Keep shit away from me.
Nice.
Magic content in there. Bam.
Boom. Yeah. Extra points.
I am a Snow Bunny fan as well, so that works out to my advantage. Plus that All movie. Right.
You got to pick your Bond villain name though.
Yeah. Right. It's obviously Dr. Something, because if you're going to go that far, you at least do 8 years of schooling.
Or you could be a professor. I feel you could also use Professor. Professor works.
Professor sounds too like chummy these days. It's not. It doesn't instill the fear that Doctor does. Because when a doctor tells you something, you fucking pay attention. When a professor tells you something, it's kind of like, that's a nice philosophy.
Like, he might be banging my classmates, like that kind of thing.
maybe at Juneau, Alaska College, that's what happens. I don't know.
Could be barrister. Come on. How do you not be called Dr. Bonfire? Come on. Dr. Bonfire?
I would have to add like a Swedish... What's the Swedish equivalent of that? Because I'm in the Swiss Alps.
Dr. Hodenfreidenscheiden? I have no idea.
German
How do you say slow shitting? Dr. Slow Shitter. Dr. Slow Shitter.
Dr. Diddle Shit.
Dr. Diddle Shit. So much that I was 10 pounds lighter that day, I swear to God.
And he combats you with skates on. Ah, Dr. Skittle Shit. Why are you wearing skates? Ah, little did you know, these have razors on the bottom.
Isn't that what skates are? I mean, I don't skate, but that's what I envision though.
that's pretty fucking accurate.
Okay, yeah. Right, Maddie's not the like, I want sharks with laser beams on their heads. I want skates with razors on the bottom.
Oh my god, those things are sharp as swords.
It's like, just take so a pair sharp. Of rollerblades and replace the wheels with a yeah. razor.
With a big knife.
You want ice skates.
And then I'm going to have ice everywhere yeah. so I can get around.
That's really good. And then I'm going to need a stick because I'm really slippery on these things and it's going to help hold me up. And then I'm going to have these little bombs.
This is where we find out that Maddie's ancient relatives invented hockey. Like,
oh, fuck.
It's in his DNA.
Oh, that's gold, man. That's gold
right
there.
Kevy, Where is your lair? What is your name? And what would you defend it with?
My lair is in the middle of the fucking desert. In the middle of the Sahara Desert. Like, not this desert where there's, like, mountains around it and shit like that. Not the Afghani desert where it's the same goddamn thing. Like, the Sahara Desert where I can see you coming from miles and miles and miles away. If you're still coming, because, I mean, this desert sucks. I'm gonna have my lair built in the middle of it. It's gonna be fucking awesome. It's gonna be built up into a giant fucking, like, Sauron eye-looking fucking tower in the middle of the desert. So that literally nobody can get near me without getting fucked up by my zombie camels, because one,
they don't need as much water as regular camels.
Obviously don't need as much water as regular camels.
He just gives them a little bump of coke here and there. And yeah, I mean,
those things would be fearsome.
They're zombies. They're zombie camels. It's going to get fucking crazy. Like, Maddie, you can come a running with all the spray foam you want to. You're going to hit, like, you know, you're going to see you from quite a ways away, and you're going to hit them with your fucking, you know, hit him in the legs with your zombie foam, and the camels will be all, and not give a shit, and bite you on the way by. And then that's going to be, like, the outer ring. Like, okay, you know, we're talking a mile out. So that, like.
Oh, you have multiple layers of defenses. Okay. I like this.
Well, no, I'm just talking, like, multiple layers of zombie Campbells.
Okay. It's just all the zombie Campbells. All the layers.
They're all
God
zombie camels.
Another layer of zombies?
It's like you know, you keep trying, like, every time you try to hit a fucking layer, you know, you got another layer to go through, and, like, at some point you're gonna get bit, because that fucking foam gun is only gonna go so far, and that's camels' true. Necks are long as shit. And they're, like, they're gonna be fucking, they're gonna know, like, all they're gonna be programmed to do. By the way, these are robot zombie camels. All they're gonna be
robot zombies.
Is to bite your ass.
Okay. Now, tell me you have, like, a lead henchman who's a midget, but he throws his skates at you.
Nope, he's just a giant zombie Campbell. He's just like, they call him midget, like that ironic shit. What they call, like, you know, like, what they call fucking Little John, or they call the giant dude tiny. Like, it's just the biggest camel, robot zombie Campbell you've ever fucking seen that they call.
We've seen so many.
Yeah, it's the midget is just what, like, all the camels call them when they get together. Like, when you're not coming at my lair and they're all just hanging out fucking playing magic and playing poker and shit like that. Wow. They're just all, oh man, you guys don't want to fuck with the midget, because when he gets mad, he just bites you from across the room. And, like, yeah, that kind of fucking camel that you have to do. He's like the end boss that you have to get to the beginning of my lair.
Okay.
And now you got, and now, like, and, but, like, my lair is gonna be built out
whose
of
whose lair?
My lair.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Not,
who,
yet.
Who's
I'm
that?
Not, oh, I'm not done yet. Oh, this is my lair that's built out of sandcastles, so that when Maddie is, like, lugging his fucking foam cannon around and he's trying to climb my lair, if he gets through, like, my layers of zombie fucking crazy bastard camels,
robot camels,
and gets through, air quotes, the midget, which is the fucking
the really big one,
fucking robot camel, then he's got to try to climb my lair. Okay. And get to the top, but it's made out of sandcastle, so you're just gonna keep falling down and falling down, and, like, I'm just gonna, like, if you finally make it to the top where, like, my room is, where I get to overlook everything and just see, like, the coast on one direction and the coast on the other direction, because I'm, like, 6 miles in the air. There's just going to be, like, some cheap little plaque that says, like, Dr. Electric Pussy. Because, I mean, I like lightning bolts, and I got to throw some magic in here somewhere. So, I think Dr. Electric Pussy.
I like how Maddie turned into Bond in your story. Like, you're set all this up just to defend from Maddie.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man.
Like, Maddie gets close.
Yeah, I'm really fucked if you or TSG come at me. But yeah, I'm just setting up against Maddie. Yeah.
Everything is geared towards defending your lair, Dr. Electric Pussy's lair from Maddie.
TSG just flies in with a helicopter and shoots you through the window.
Yeah, he's just
doesn't even mean me.
You
didn't go to school, Dr. Electric Pussy.
He shoots directly below my little fucking tower at the top and just collapses my sand tower the whole fucking way down. I'm just like, all the way down, and, like, what am I going to do with that point, I just call down the fucking thunder as I'm falling. I'm probably going to get hit in the head with a lightning bolt.
Yeah, he kills himself.
I'm still sticking to it. Dr. Electric Pussy in the Sahara.
Dr. Electric Pussy. Yeah, that sounds like a mixture of a Bond villain and his, like, second.
And his sidekick.
Yeah, that sounds like some kind of like failed vibrator from the 70s, you know, like Dr. Electric Pussy.
Dr. Recommended.
Yeah, Dr. Recommended Electric Pussy. I don't know, man. I stuck my dick in it, but I got a shock. Is that how it's supposed to work?
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, I don't know, guys. This has been...
SDS is firing fucking bullets. Like, the last thing I'm going to be able to do is... Like, hold up a fucking, like, from his helicopter, I'm gonna hold up a handheld sign that just is like, swords of plowshares, eat a dick, and tumble down the fucking sandcastle mountain. And then it's all done. It's all over with. And TSG wins. Fuck.
Fuck! That's pretty well.
Is it just me, or did this episode go off the rails from, like, 5 minutes in?
This episode was going off the rails before we did the intro, so...
It was never on the rails, is what Maddie is saying.
No, this was one of those episodes where, I think, you know what, I would say...
Side bet, since we're not allowed to bet on Magic cards without getting fucking, like, you know, eliminated from the PCI. side bet. How much do you want to bet everything that we've said tonight makes it into the podcast?
Yeah, we haven't said anything that's been offensive.
No, I mean, everything to, like, where's David? What happened? Where's David at? Is he on the cast? Is what's going on? Or, hey, this is how we do Skype because we can't figure out how to work it. Like,
I'll go in and clean those up. I'll clean. I try to clean up the Skype failings.
Skype talk? I'll let you guys be racist, but I definitely don't want the public to know that we don't know how to use Skype.
Yeah. We weren't even racist this episode. We just basically set women's rights back 100 years. Like, I don't even know what the hell.
I'm sorry, man or woman, if you're jacking off on the toilet, you don't have rights anymore. It's fucking, like, did we not just have an election? Did we not vote on this? Like, if you jack off on the toilet, you don't get rights.
I'm just saying this. Who's a fucking model? Like, when you said she is a... I expected that you...
Who is the monster that jacks off on the...
I honestly thought you were going to just talk about, like, hey, she's just, like, this unemployed, like, garbage truck salesman or something. But no, she's a model. Like, you're just like, wow, dude, you just set the bar so high for me. I'm just like,
I had sex with it, say, like, I'm gonna be a model. No, like, fuck being a model. Like, that's not hard to do. Like, I've had people take pictures of me that I didn't have to pay for. Call myself a model. But if you want a TV show, that's like a step above. Like,
I agree.
I mean, think about this.
Oh, hey, she's a fucking professional model. This chick gets, like, you know, money to get pictures taken of her. That's different. But no, like, this chick was just, like, saying that she's just a model, like, that ain't hard. Like, being in pictures isn't hard. Being in moving pictures, especially reality show moving pictures, apparently, well, no, that's not hard these days either, because, like, Duck Dynasty is a show.
I mean, what's really funny is, like, you know, the whole Kim Kardashian thing with the big ass broke today, so it's just like, in my head, when you're just when she's like taking a shit, I'm just like, picturing, like, that gigantic ass just dropping a load.
It would be fucking gorgeous if she didn't have that big stupid ass that she likes. Oh my God.
She fills that ass with shit. Like, no doubt she shoots foam in there, or silicone.
I am a huge ass man. Yeah. I like
butt. I like ass.
I really hope this makes the cut.
No, I do. I like ass, but that ass is retarded. Like, hey, you know what that is? That's Conway West saying, like, yo, man, I gotta have the biggest ass in the fucking world.
Conway West,
man.
Conway West.
I said Conway, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. His name. That's like that's a Bond villain. It's like
Conway West is a Bond villain right there. And he has to have the biggest asses in the world. Look, what the fuck?
He's a fucking 70s country singer.
Conway West, yes. And his females are called, wait, what is it, Conway Twitty? They're called Twiddler Twitties. No.
Oh, my God.
Conway West. Kanye West, I love it. Oh, man. It's... It's gonna be fucking sweet. God. Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know. I don't even know. Like, I have been in a lot of conversations and not many people can like get me to not talk or to be like genuinely like taken aback by someone's. But like, if I was in a store and a chick just turned to me and said that, I don't know. Like, I don't have an answer yet. I haven't lived long enough to experience life. To know that, what to say. I still don't even know what the comeback is.
If we're lucky, Maddie's going to start tweeting reactions to that. Like, he's going to be like, all right, I've listened to this over and over because I had to edit it, and now I release the episode and listen to the final product, and now I have a reaction.
I don't think that's enough time. I need...
DJ Diddle Poop.
DJ Diddle Poop.
Or, sorry, Poop and Diddles. Chronological order.
Chronological. Oh,
it makes her sound weird.
It makes her sound weird.
Yeah, because she's like, I'm gonna rub one out and then I'm gonna poop. Like, that's just not okay. That's not.
Yeah, right in the middle of it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like it's. It,
oh,
yeah,
it's like a weird chicken or the egg scenario.
Oh. That's a great line right there. It is, I don't know. Do you shit first or do you?
Oh, no.
I don't even know. Like, what would you do?
Later. But,
what happens when you're, like, fucking and you do have to take a shit?
Here's how it goes. Like, you got to look at the... Like, we have to call back to the rules of the universe. The first
That's
rule
true.
Of the universe is masturbate more. And then
yeah,
there's...
If you don't masturbate enough, if you're taking a shit and want to masturbate, that definitely is right there.
There's eating ass. So, like, I'm hoping at no point does this, like, you know, like, by rule two, I'm hoping there's no shitting going on because, I mean...
Oh, that's not right. Just,
but, like, I mean, just leave. We've established the fact that, like, just leave means, you know, just fucking finish your business and fucking get out. But, hey, maybe rule three could be construed as, like, hey, just fucking take a shit and get out of there. Like, you know, maybe, you know, you masturbate. You eat some ass and you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to go fucking poop and get the fuck out. And, you know, so the only place that, like, pooping fits in the heavy metal rules of the universe
is
just leave. Just fucking shit and leave. Like, maybe it's funny. Like, you know, maybe at your in-law's house.
Maybe it's
like,
maybe it's dump and leave. Maybe we need, like, a fourth rule.
I don't know. I'm not really sure how this
Frankie's got to figure this one out. This is beyond us.
I think pooping and then masturbating is just fucking weird, and I think masturbating and then pooping is just fucking weird. So
okay, so like last note of business here. So who?
Oh, we still on the podcast.
Yeah. So who? No. Yeah, it's over. No, the podcast. But who's writing the show notes for this?
I say that, Matty. Every single time you say this is done, we're not on the podcast anymore, I hear myself to the public on Friday.
That's such a lie. I have shielded you from such foul things. You have no idea. You don't even remember some of the early shit that I just...
Some of the shit that you have shielded my fucking verbal assault, like shielded the public from my verbal assault and kept me from going to jail. I fucking love you for it. But there are also times where I'm like, oh, yeah, there's no way that made it on the podcast. And Maddie's just giggling the whole time while it's playing on the podcast.
Listen, look, the rules are, man. Everything we say, if you don't say don't put that on the podcast, it's on the podcast.
Hey, don't put that shit on the podcast.
Jungle.